Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This episode of Mother May I Sleep With Podcast is brought to you in part by the Lifetime Movie Club, the ultimate streaming destination for Lifetime movie lovers. Choose from 100 movies at any time, with new movies rotated in weekly to keep things fresh. And you can watch anywhere on your favorite device. As a bonus, listeners of this podcast get an exclusive one-month free trial. Go to LifetimeMovieClub.com/malls to start your free month now. That's LifetimeMovieClub.com/MOLLS. Welcome to Season 3 of Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. I'm your host, Molly McAleer.
We came to Australia for our honeymoon. Tina wanted to swim with the sea turtles. We didn't know how strong their current was.
So you think the current made Tina panic?
I saw it in her eyes. I tried to swim down to her. She was sinking too fast.
I am so excited about today's movie, Fatal Honeymoon. My guest is Rachel Fisher, and she was just saying to me that she's been waiting to talk to someone about this movie for 24 hours.
Yes.
Rachel, first of all, roll tide.
Hi. I don't know what that means. I'm not from the South.
Okay, me neither. And, like, I just tried to look it up because I noticed that, like, the guy in this movie who is, like, not hot in real life.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Did you look him up?
Oh, no, not at all. No, I did look him up. The real guy who this crime is based on.
Is, like, not hot. It's like the Craigslist killer where you're like, oh, like, look at this, like, cutie. Like,
right.
Like, that's double damage. Like, he's a cutie, too.
Right.
The real guy's not a cutie.
No.
And he does this thing where he comes in and out and he'll just be like, okay, Roll Tide. Like, as he's getting off the phone. And, like, yes, he's from Alabama, but what the fuck does Roll Tide mean?
I have no idea, but I hear people from the South say it all the time. Who are, like, really into college football.
Yeah. It's like the University of Alabama, like, rally cry or whatever. And I tried to look it up on Urban Dictionary, which was no help, oddly enough.
Because they had, like, sex acts.
No, although you would think. There was one thing that I thought was interesting. They said it's a sentence enhancer, or in a sentence, its own. It can be used as a greeting, departure, or to smooth over rough ties between people and shut others up. So, like, I feel like it's like John. Do you know what I mean?
Where from it can Philadelphia?
Mean everything and anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all I can assume. I know that it's also a salutation amongst humans that were unable to score high enough in life to be an Auburn fan, which sounds like an asshole wrote that.
But totally.
I don't know what it means. I've never understood it. I didn't even realize Alabama had water near it.
Yeah.
Is it like literal tide?
I don't know what the fuck it means. I just think of like a crimson tide, honestly, when I hear it, because aren't their colors like maroon?
Well, I mean, if this movie is accurate, it's like duck green.
Oh, right, right. Because he wears a lot of duck green polos.
Yeah, yeah. And he has like, when he got out of jail at the end, spoiler alert, this is based on a true story, you guys. So you might be familiar with it, which I didn't. I wasn't. It sounds very familiar, but I wasn't.
Right. Same.
He gets out of jail wearing like a UAB shirt. And I was like, yo, like, I don't think Boston College would be like happy if I like got out of jail for killing someone and I was wearing like a BC shirt.
Right. Right.
You know, like maybe spare UAB that legacy. But he's not cute.
No.
We should say that. She's adorable in real life, too.
She was adorable in real life.
Yeah.
Do you want to kind of like touch on what moved you specifically before we get into like the breakdown?
What moved me in terms of the movie?
Yeah, about this couple maybe. Like, did anything stand out to you? I mean, feel very triggered by the whole
relationship. I was so triggered by the relationship. I mean, this was like your very classical, emotionally abusive relationship.
Yeah.
With a shithead.
Yeah.
And watching this guy operate, like, yes, it was like, super, like, the script is like super cheesy because it's Lifetime, but pretty much like all of his moves are just classic,
yeah,
emotionally manipulative. And I even wrote in my notes, like the actor playing him, I was like, he's not even cute enough
to pull this off.
Not that like a hot guy should pull that off either. I'm just saying, like,
you just want.
I'm saying in the beginning of their relationship, where he's already like before, like when they first meet and he's already negging her.
Yes.
I'm like, fucking leave.
From the start, he's not. I mean, I know exactly what you mean, and it sounds bad, and I'm sure I don't think anyone's going to give us a note on that. But like, I definitely agree with you that like you want it to be. If it's all has to be for something, you want it to at least be for like a fucking hottie.
Because you know he's not. Fucking are good.
No, absolutely. He doesn't look like he can have sex.
He's a really selfish lover, I can tell.
Totally. And Billy Miller, the guy who plays him, he is like very famous, I guess, from he was on Ray Donovan in Suits, which is we just did the Meghan and Harry stories, so that's like hitting very close to home right now. He also was on General Hospital for a long time, which is I think what got a lot of people in the door on this. And I will say that like this actually was, as far as Lifetime movies go, pretty good.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good in terms of like the writing and everything else. It was, I thought, produced kind of like the way that like The Girl Next Door was with Jennifer Lopez, where it got like a theatrical release, but would have been a Lifetime movie if it didn't have a bigger star. But this actually was released theatrically in Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They're like, this is a big crime. Please cut that out. I don't know how to do an Australian accent.
Yeah, no. So it has also Harvey Keitel in it, which was, I think, a pretty big get.
That is a big get.
Especially in 2012 when this was made.
Yeah.
The crime all went down around 2003. I feel like I was working in gossip around 2009 when this was playing out in the news.
Okay.
So it sounds familiar to me, but this also is just such a nightmare scenario that it will sound familiar to anyone. Like, this is current affair. There's tons of news clips throughout the movie. So it was a pretty big story.
Right.
I just probably was like blackout drunk throughout most of those years.
Same. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. I think we had a similar timeline.
Very stoned. Yeah. I was a huge stoner during this time. Not so much drinking. Huge stoner at that time. The girl in this movie, the woman who's murdered, Tina Watson, is played by Amber Clayton, who I swear to God.
I thought it was Kate Bosworth.
She's so pretty.
She's so cute.
She's a good actress. She seemed familiar to me that, like, I thought maybe she had been in a previous Lifetime movie, but she has some, this is one of her earlier credits, and then she shows up in movies like St. Vincent and, I mean, I guess it's probably the biggest one you would know. Something called Crawl Space, CSI Miami. It was written by a guy named Mac Gudgeon and his partner. He's done a ton of TV movies. Like, he's a veteran of this. And I wonder if they brought in the girl to, like, give it sort of – Tina Booth is her name. They brought her in to give it sort of more, like, more legitimacy, or if they're partners or something. I don't know. She's a big TV movie person as well. I want to point out the director, Nadia Toss. She is – I thought she did a great job with this, but there's some very interesting decisions, especially with, I mean, we're going to play it because it's so standout to me. The little noise that would happen whenever a title card would come up, the little like digital.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it's from like a early 2000s like horror movie.
Right.
Right?
Like right. Like a sci-fi horror.
I've never seen those like Haunting in the Woods type movies, but like that's definitely what it is. What is it like Conjuring, like what are those movies?
It just didn't fit with the movie. It was like, for me, it was like a sci-fi like Captain's Log
totally
thing or
it
something.
Lived in a different space.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this was, I thought this was just a fantastic film, and we're gonna get into it now. I guess I do want to say one other thing, which is that I spent some time with the Wikipedia today, and it identifies our lead, the real life person, as Christina Mae Tina Watson, birth name unknown. And so they go with the name Tommy Thomas for the dad.
Okay, I wanted to talk about that because I was so irritated during the movie. I'm like, was his name really Tommy Thomas?
I mean, if they made that up, that is brave.
Right.
Like, that's a ridiculous fucking name to make up. Right. It also takes the sting off of the seriousness of all of this. Because it's like, anytime you're like, okay, like, did he do it? Didn't she do it? But then you're wondering, like, but who would name their kid Thomas Thomas? You're removing the legitimacy from the murder of this woman.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I haven't Googled yet if that's really her name. Have you seen the picture on Daily Mail of her dead in the water?
Yes, it's chilling.
It's so chilling. So what we're going to find out very quickly when we start is that this woman died while scuba diving on her honeymoon, and there exists a literal fucking picture of her dying in the water as her fiance is swimming away from her.
Right.
And there was, like, I did notice towards the end when they are, like, going through the death, there is a flash at one point. And I'm like, is this flash supposed to be, like, the moment? Or is this, like, just some sort of, like, glitch? It was very weird.
Yeah.
But who's taking pictures underwater at that point?
Right. You're having a crisis.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very strange. So we're going to open up on the beginning of Fatal Honeymoon. Great font, I thought, just in terms of it came directly out of Final Cut.
Right.
But they put a little something on it. It had a little, like, blur on it.
Right.
We find out the following events are based on a true story. And it's Gabe being interviewed. It's the first day of his interrogation. And he says, "We came to Australia for our honeymoon. Tina wanted to swim with the sea turtles. We didn't know how strong the current was." Bullshit on her wanting to swim with the sea turtles, by the
way. That never happened. First of all, as you see later, she is not a water person.
And
I relate to that. I'm not a water person.
You aren't.
No.
I'm a fish. I love the water.
I can understand people wanting to, like, swim and surf and whatever, but, like, you could not pay me to go scuba diving.
It's all I know from scuba diving, from, like, one episode of Baywatch I saw when I was being babysat, is that it's fucking terrifying and so dangerous.
Totally.
Like, you're always running out of air, from my knowledge of sea. Like, there's no way to do it safely. You never have enough air. You're always cheating death.
It's always a production, too.
Have you ever done it?
No.
Right. Okay.
I have no desire.
See, I was thinking after this is where I'm so weird, because after I was like, you know what? I kind of want to go scuba diving.
I'm going to try snorkeling first.
Yeah. But that's the part of me that wanted to eat McDonald's after watching Super Size Me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can always find a really bad excuse to do that.
God, I have, like, two Happy Meal boxes in my car, and I, like, got the second one yesterday, and I saw that the other Happy Meal box was in my car, like, as I was pulling up, and I was like, you have to hide this because it looks like you have a problem. But in reality, my problem is just not cleaning my car.
Same.
So they're basically, like, going back and forth. They're like, you know, Tina panicked, and he's like, I saw it in her eyes. I tried to swim down to her. She was sinking too fast. I couldn't reach her. So this is his whole story, which, from the jump, as a person who knows nothing about, like, scuba diving, this makes no sense.
Totally.
Like, isn't the whole point of scuba diving is that you can go down?
Yeah. And you're also, like, if it's, like on a vacation, like, package thing, right, you're with, like, a bunch of other people, and it's super safe. Like, what happened?
It seemed like there was, like, 30 people with them.
Right.
So we cut back to Queensland, Australia, or forward to Queensland, Australia in 2013 or 2003.
I think the crime happened in 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So two Australians are in the park, and they're saying, and Billy Miller, the detective, is saying there's something just, like, it's not right. This American guy, his story's off.
They don't trust him.
And the guy's like, what? And he's like, no, I don't know. I just stopped buying it. He comes to this country on his honeymoon, and his wife dies, and he doesn't shed a tear. Maybe he's in shock. No, he's changed his story two or three times the last 2 days, which I know, as a criminal lover, criminal true crime aficionado, when you change your story, you're just not telling the truth.
Right.
Yeah. It's very.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So the way he eats his sandwich, did you catch this?
Please refresh my memory.
Okay. So he has, like, a triangle, like a sandwich triangle. Like, it's been cut diagonally. And it was, like, almost like they said to him, like, eat this sandwich in a very hetero way. Like, he didn't want to take a little nibble.
Okay? Well, he's, like, a very macho detective guy.
Totally. But also, like, you could tell he's a sweetie. Like, he reads his, like, grandchildren books before sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes so far out of his way to take, like, a big manly bite out of this sandwich that he basically fucking deep throats it. And it's like, right. It becomes very erotic all of a sudden and extremely distracting. If you watch this movie for one thing, watch for that moment. He shoves, it's like past the corner of the crust. He goes right. So far. You're not even tasting it at that point.
No, you're just inhaling it.
You're trying to survive.
Right.
So then we go to the University of Alabama 2 years earlier. Bobby keeps running into his beautiful blonde crush. They have four classes together. I just wrote, he's so gross that we need to play this. And yeah. I think that it's important to play this, if not for anything else, just so you can recognize if you're in an abusive relationship.
Well, we have to play this because the first thing I wrote down was anyone who talks about fate upon first meeting you, right. Like that's the first thing they say to you is super suspect to me.
Yeah. And he's negging her the entire time.
Oh my God.
Like everything he says is just like, you're kind of stupid. So like, right. Why don't you just like roll with this?
Right.
It's 143 to 327.
Hi. Seem to keep running into you.
Yeah. Well, we do have four classes together.
Four? Oh, it's a bit of a coincidence.
Yeah, maybe. Of course, fate.
No, I don't believe in fate.
No, you don't believe in fate? You sure? Positive? Hold on. Yes, you do. You definitely believe in fate.
How would you know?
Because you believe in God, don't you? And all that stuff they teach you in church. God has a plan, all that.
Okay, well, if you put it that way.
Dude, you are easy. I bet I can talk to you in anything.
You think so? Do you? Mm-hmm.
Doubt my powers of persuasion. Okay, let's try this one. Have dinner with me. Tonight.
That's very sweet, but I can't.
Did you hear that sound? That's the sound of my heart breaking into a million little pieces.
Oh, please. You don't even know my name.
Yes, I do. It's Data Thomas, communications major. I'm Gabe Watson, public relations major.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll be seeing you in class. Mm. All four of them.
Mm. Well, I'll be the guy in the corner pining away for you.
Well, you're pretty funny, Gabe Watson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fat lot of good that just did me.
You know, the first time we met, he said it was fate. And you believed him?
He did like 10 different abusive tactics.
I know.
Like including the guilting. Well, I guess I just pining away at you then.
Yeah.
I'm just going to love you from afar.
And then also like you're a dipshit. Like when he's like fat lot of good, that just did me. It's like, oh shit, maybe I didn't react right to his jokes.
Right.
Like, and plus, I mean, I think we both kind of gassed when I didn't even realize PR major.
Right.
Like, first of all, who's majoring in PR in Alabama?
I was going to say.
Like, seems like an odd place
right.
to have an agenda.
Right.
But this speaks so highly as to, like, everything that he does throughout this movie. And it's great because he's a true psychopath where he thinks he's someone. Like, he thinks he's charming.
Oh, totally.
Like, he thinks he's getting away with it, and he doesn't realize he looks like a fucking creep.
Totally. Like, and she's so, like, abusive guys pick their victims very strategically.
Yeah.
And she is the type of person to question herself. And, like, I've been in this situation before, so, like, no yep. shade to her. Like, I totally get it.
No, I wrote this down exactly. I said, this is abuser language. From the moment he's testing out her vulnerability and weakness so he can target her but still come off as charming.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, yeah, it's, like, first of all, because I'm definitely, like, of this character as well, where, like, I said in therapy like a million times, like, why am I a sitting duck? Like, I feel like these guys can like sense that I want to believe.
That's what they know? Do.
And, it's scary to watch. Like, yeah. it really did give me chills.
Me too. I was watching it yesterday, just like, I wanted to emotionally eat the whole time I was watching it.
Which is like credit to, I would say, the acting and the dialogue here, the way this whole thing was played out.
Yeah.
Because this is basically every Lifetime movie. Like,
totally.
But they don't always sell it this way. I'm usually just like, oh, he's a piece of shit. We get it. The other big tell here is that they're playing like kind of suspense movie music from the minute they meet, which is like not, I mean, even in Craigslist Killer, they kind of played like an upbeat ditty, like when they first meet.
But you know, the movie wants you to know that this guy is a piece of shit from jump.
Yep.
And are we going to talk about, well, we'll talk about it when we get to it, but there's another scene that like, I actually like audibly gasped the by party? Myself. No, the restaurant for the dad's birthday.
Oh, it's so wild.
We'll talk about it.
Everyone saw it. It was crazy. So, Tina tells her friend that, you know, he said it was a date. Her friend can't believe, he said it was a date and her friend can't believe that she's falling for all this, but she's going to move forward with it.
So by the way, can we talk about how the best friend is obviously in love with her?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, her best friend is, like, at the end, like, at the trial.
Totally. I just had the vibe. I just got queer vibes from the best friend.
Right.
And...
yeah, you're right. I can kind of see
like,
that.
Like, look at the look on her face right now. Yeah. That is, she is in love.
She's a little in love with her. I know. And, like, it sucks because as, like, the idiot, as me being Tina, if I'm going to look at that situation, that is 100% my best friend, Christina, being, like, from day one.
Right.
Being, like, you are about to walk into a fucking fire.
Right.
And I have to watch it.
Totally. And there's nothing I can do because you're straight. Bad.
I know.
Like, Tina is, like, every... really sad straight girl case where you're like, yeah, why can't you just like, why did God make you straight?
Yeah.
That was like the biggest curse was that God making you straight.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I feel so bad for her. So she like, I already feel bad for everyone involved. I mean, this just preys on my bleeding heart.
Same.
So, Tina's like, okay, I'm inviting him to a party. And then when they get to the party, Gabe is just flirting with two other women on the other side of the room. Doesn't even really say hi to her.
Right. And like a classic move to make her jealous, to build himself up. Like, look at what a big man I am.
Right.
Girls want me.
And this was like, I mean, because not even I would fall for that one.
Yeah.
I'd be fucking pissed.
I would too.
There would be like no moving past it, especially not that night. Maybe he could wear me down.
Right.
But they wind up making out in the kitchen and... she's actually like mean to the other girls, which I don't love.
No.
She's like a Little Miss fake tan out there, which I mean, it's an Alabama sorority. They probably all have fake tans.
Right, right. Come on.
But I wrote TBH, it's a pretty hot makeout and made me want to go on Tinder, which is like, that's sad. I think I was like a little buzzed when I wrote that last date and there's some truth in that.
Right.
So he's meeting Tina's parents and Harvey Keitel's first line of the scene is bubble wrap. Which is like great because we never come back to really the family business. And he says, we sell all kinds of packing materials, but bubble wrap is our number one product. Basically, I make bank making air. So bragging to someone's parents, I mean, he has no regard for any sort of authority or respect.
He does not give a shit that that's her dad. And by the way, Harvey Keitel as the dad in this movie is like the most sweetest, gentlest dad ever. Like, how could you be a dick to him?
I know. And like, he definitely is running with this whole thing where it's like his dad, like her dad's almost like in love with her or something. The
right.
Way he controls her.
Right. But that's not even true at all. Like that's the lie.
They have a very sweet relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the lie. Like, that's the lie. Exactly. That's the thing that he runs with. Like, you can't see this, but...
Right. And you need me to help you.
Yeah.
Abusers love that tactic that like you would be nothing without me.
I never like will forget like my mom fucking flipped out like after I broke up, like a relationship ended. And she's like, I knew I didn't like him. Like from the second that I came and picked you guys up at the airport and he said like, oh, bless your heart. And she was like, for like coming to get us at the airport. And I was like, I don't need you to bless my fucking heart.
Right.
She was like, why would that be a big deal? My mom doesn't like you, poor thing. She doesn't like bless your heart.
Right.
These things that I think normal people consider like pleasantries of some sort. My mom is like, don't say that to me.
I feel like moms, well, at least my mom always knows.
Yeah.
She's like, I knew that person was trash.
I know. And I think about how hard it is for her to watch me have to learn that lesson.
Oh my God.
All the time. I'm like, I'm so sorry. That,
right.
Like, because I watch certain friends of mine date and I'm like, if I could just like live this experience for you, I would. Like, please
totally.
Don't put yourself through it.
Right.
But that's what these parents have to do. So they say like, what do you do? He's like, not much really. I go to work every day, dinner with my parents on Saturday, church on Sunday. They're like, what kind of church would that be?
This was weird.
This was really weird.
He's all like, what do you, like, who cares? What if I was a Muslim or something?
Right.
Like, he starts challenging the family, even though that's not clearly not the angle that they were going for, the family. They right. just were, like, out of curiosity. Oh, yeah, well, we're church-going folks.
Right.
Where do you go? And, like, they're just asking him a question.
I feel like if anyone would be uncomfortable if he was Muslim, it would be Gabe.
Do you know absolutely.
I mean? That like, guy be the one that's like...
That guy is so Islamophobic. It's not even funny.
100%.
You can just tell.
That's his MO. I would love to like catch up with him today and find out where he's at with politics. Right. Like, you know he voted for Trump.
Absolutely. You know,
I mean, he is standard, just like...
He's MAGA all the asshole. Way.
Totally.
Yeah.
So let's play the clip where the parents... yeah, let's just play this clip. 537 and 712.
So, Gabe, tell us a little more about yourself.
Well, ma'am, not much to tell, really. I go to work every day. Dinner with my folks on Saturday, church on Sunday.
What church would that be?
Oh, well, now, sir, according to the First Amendment, that really shouldn't matter, should it?
Gabe.
No, I mean, come on, if I were a Muslim, would he kick me out of the house?
Oh, I might kick you out anyway.
Okay, Daddy, he's just trying to be funny, okay? Gabe is Baptist like us.
What about hobbies? What do you like to do?
The normal things. Like watching football, playing pool. I like to go down the ocean, go scuba diving when I can.
I didn't know you were into that.
Oh, yeah. It's a rush. You go down into this other world.
Oh, isn't it scary to go down when there's no air?
No, it's not scary. I've gone on like 50 dives. I got my rescue diving qualifications done last year. You know, I'm just going to have to take you with me. We'll go down to the Gulf.
Tina doesn't dive.
No, you don't dive. Well, you're just going to have to learn then, won't you?
I want to learn. If you promise to keep me safe.
I'll keep you safe.
She doesn't even like to swim.
So what we just heard at the end was him waking up from a nightmare.
Right.
Looking back on his daughter drowning.
Visualizing her in the water, struggling.
So some big, like, warning signs here. One, he has a hobby no one's heard of.
Right.
Two, it occurs to me during this, does he have any fucking friends?
No, he doesn't.
Right?
He does not.
And, like, that is a big sign.
Right, because no one...
No...
Oh, totally. Like, no, especially, like... Even if someone has, like, a lot of acquaintances and knows everyone around town, it's, like, when someone doesn't have, like, personal relationships with people.
Yeah.
Even just, like, one or two.
Yeah.
Why is that?
That struck me in the piece that came up this week, which, you guys, this will probably be, like, a month old by the time it comes out, but it's still relevant, that Chris Hardwick accusal thing that
right.
came out this week where she said... He never hung out with his real friends and only hung out with people that were, like, industry acquaintances
right.
when it made sense for him. And I very much, like, I've been in a situation like that where I'm like, but where are all of these, like, 50 best friends you're always referencing?
Totally.
Like, shouldn't we go out with them or right. something? And it just, that is such a mark of a person, like, who isolates themselves, especially when they get into a relationship.
Right.
And, yeah, you gotta watch out for that. I mean, especially if you hate the ocean, which, by the way, like, she couldn't hate the ocean more.
Right.
And everyone that, knows this about her.
And it just, like, the thing that kept driving me nuts and is another classic abuser sign, or at least just a shit person sign, is, like, bullying someone into liking what you like.
Yeah.
And... Like, it's so rude. Like, who gives a shit if she doesn't like the ocean? If you love right. her, you don't fucking care.
Exactly. And, like, there's things that, like, I'm sure she did tolerate on an entry level. Like, I'm sure she right. didn't love watching him, like, freak out over football.
Right.
But you love your partner.
And it doesn't mean – and, like, you accept him that he wants to watch football on Sunday. That's called making a compromise. It's not sure. making a compromise when you expect this person to get into your hobby that has risks attached to it.
Totally. And they have a huge fear of it. Like,
right.
scuba diving is not something you – it's not pool. You don't casually
right.
pick it up. Right.
right.
So the dad wakes up from his nightmare. We learn that it's Alabama, same place 4 years later. And the dad looks like a shell of himself.
Totally.
Like, completely different than when we first saw him. And the wife says, she comes in and she's like, I thought you stopped looking at that picture a year ago. And we see that he's looking at the picture of the real life picture of her way underwater.
Yeah.
And it's really a haunting image. I would say, even if you don't watch the movie, which, by the way, I see you guys' tweets, and I love how many of you don't watch the actual movie. It makes me so happy. Especially someone the other day said that she loves to encounter them like in the wild and then see how different it is. I love that. But this is the real picture, and I do suggest you look it up just because there's no mistaking this as a very intentional death.
Yeah. He did not try.
No.
To help her. Whether or not it was planned, he did not give it his all.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No. So we're going to cut to the Miami dive shop. And I will warn you also that this is like clip heavy at the top because there's a lot to establish and also a lot of great performances. But the dad's in action mode now. He's like not, he's not sitting down anymore. So he goes in, he says he's looking for Ken Schneider.
Wait, is this when the dad is going to Australia?
This is at the dive shop in Miami.
Oh, in Miami. Okay. Yeah. We're not on the plane yet.
Not yet. We're about to be, but I do want to play from 8:06 to 9:15, just because right at 8:06, we get that great little sci-fi noise that comes up with the titles and makes no sense.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, sir.
Hello. I'm looking for Ken Schneider.
Ken, someone here to see you.
I'm sorry I didn't contact you earlier. I'm frustrated as hell. The Queensland cops haven't made any official determination on how your daughter died.
They're saying it isn't exactly a clear-cut case.
To hell it isn't. Gabe wasn't exactly clear-cut about what happened down there. You know his story, right? He told me after he let go of Tina. He saw her sinking feet first to the bottom. He tell you that too? Well, he's full of crap. And I pretty much called him on that right there on the boat. I told him he should come up with a better story. I've been on 800 dives. I've seen a lot of panic divers, and they never go down feet first. They thrash and fight and claw their way toward the surface.
If Tina was sinking like Gabe described,
she was already dead when he let go of her.
Also, regardless of whether or not Tina was dead before or after he let go of her, don't you bring her up to the surface still with you?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing that's so maddening about this is you just like, oh, she's dead. I'm going to drop her. It's like,
it made no sense because someone else was able to go down and get her body. It's not like she's like in the Titanic and like, we're never going to explore that place. Like she is findable.
Right.
And so I don't know if he was almost out of air. I never really understood, but we'll learn like the physics of scuba diving is a lot different than I thought it was.
Yeah.
There's that. But also just like none of this makes any sense.
No.
And it's kind of surprising that the dad has to like basically travel the world. I mean, how did he go from Alabama to a Miami dive shop? And like, obviously movie magic.
No, but, like, I know. But I thought about that too when like the dad has to go back to Australia for some reason. And he's like, we'll be right there.
Right.
I'm like, wait, really? Like,
yeah, that's like wondering if that maybe the Australian people had set up camp in like Alabama, but I was like, no, he's just flying around the world.
Right.
Like on a whim.
Can you imagine how expensive that ticket is?
Exactly. And like, we do find out that the dad wound up having the, getting the insurance money, but like, are they rich? I mean, I assume they must be rich because
maybe
this is a lot. Like,
it's a lot of travel.
Amanda Knox's family was fucking bankrupted by all the travel they had to do to Italy. And you could find Scott's cheap flights to Italy all the time.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I mean, Australia, that's a lot of like flying.
It's a lot. It's like,
it's expensive.
14 hours or something
at least. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
it's long. It was like, I remember thinking like when I was flying to Japan, I was like, if I just tacked 2 more hours onto this, I'd be in Australia.
Totally.
Which is really wild to think about. But we have, this is great. We have the dad seeking justice for the daughter, which is, I love that in a movie.
I do too.
And I wrote, this is meaningful because Father's Day was yesterday.
Right.
This was kind of a nice Father's Day movie.
It was a good Father's Day movie to watch.
Yeah.
So, do we get to the airplane part? Because I have a note about the airplane when the dad gets on the plane.
No, we're back in the interview room.
Okay. Well, tell me when we're at the plane part.
I will, because it's great. And I think I might even be – oh, yeah, this is coming up. So he says Gabe says, when I was able to look for her, she was 10 feet below me, sinking. Her arms were up. She was reaching for me. I tried, Sam. I tried to swim for her. She was sinking too fast. I couldn't reach her. So then we see, like, the dad's going to Australia. And this is great because I wrote that it's like he's sitting next to the husband from the Queen of Versailles, like after he's had some cocktails.
Oh my God. I was like white knuckling this scene because I was like breaking out in hives.
Yeah.
Thinking about having to sit on a 14-hour flight next to this guy that the dad right. has to sit next to. And he's just like talking to him the whole time. And you know, that guy has like no sense of personal boundaries.
No sense of personal boundaries.
At all.
No, he's like recommending cheeseburger places. And he right. did something that I was surprised an Australian would do, which is he made a Dingo Ate My Baby reference.
I was so like, upset about that.
I was like, they wouldn't do that.
No.
I feel like if anything, the Dingo Ate My Baby comes to them. And right. they're tired of it.
And that's
it.
Like a source of shame to them. They roll their eyes. They're like, come on.
What movie was that?
Like Crocodile Dundee or something?
I was unaware Meryl Streep was in it, he said.
And oh,
I was
yeah, like, he did
I didn't
say that.
Know Meryl Streep was in that, whatever that quote is from. Because I right. always think of it as like, almost like Seinfeld or something. It's so like iconic.
It's so absurd and old and like the reference itself, I honestly don't even know. I'm sure people are screaming at their like phones right now
Let
listening to
this. Let them do it, baby. Right. Let us know when you rate
you can at me.
Stars and ideas.
Tell me. I don't fucking care. Dingo, explain me.
Let's just talk about the anniversary party. So there's an anniversary party.
Right.
This is easily explained.
Yeah.
And she's with her sister who has like a very exotic name. I forget what it is off the top.
Right.
But it's like the anti-Tina.
It is.
And her sister also has a slightly – she has an accent or something.
She's definitely different than the sister.
Totally.
They don't look like they're from the same parents.
Yeah. She seems like she had like a goth phase in high school. Right. Like Tina was very straight and narrow.
Right.
But they're basically giving a speech being like, we have the best parents in the whole world, blah, blah, blah. Then we cut to a scene where Gabe and her are like cutting a rug, like at the party and they're having like fun. She's like, she says the worst line. I think I'm going to keep you, which I hate
that.
So cheesy.
And like, you know, like that is like the moment that we see that Tina is going to be chasing with her relationship for the rest of their relationship. That every abused woman does in a relationship, speaking from experience, is you chase that one good, happy moment that happened in the beginning.
Totally.
And you think it's like gonna, you can get that back.
Cause he like kind of negs her when he's like, we'll see about that. You know, it's never like any security. It's always
no.
are you going to keep me?
Right.
Let's see what you do. So her dad comes over and says, like, can I mind if I get this dance? And he says, no, I've got this dance. And he sweeps her away and she makes a face at her father like, sorry, like,
right.
He's embarrassing, but I have to stay with him or I'll – like, I have to keep dancing. Sorry, Dad. It's so heartbreaking.
It's so hard. It's so – I'm so secondhand embarrassed for her.
I know.
Like
– because you want to go in and save her. And
yeah.
Be like, this is unacceptable. And like, right. I would say the only good thing that comes out of this scene is that he's not the one that dies. Because if I was Tina and like one of my last memories with my dad.
Oh my God.
Refusing to let him cut in at his anniversary party.
It right.
would kill me.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I would say almost like, this sounds probably like really backwards logic and gross. But like, if someone in my life was to die at the hands of their abuser, I would have been happy to have such a clear example in my head of like what kind of manipulation they were living through.
Right.
You know, because right. then I could be like, I could see how that would happen.
I didn't read, like I didn't do like research on the true crime story, but like they must have pulled these real life details. Like,
yeah.
Was that like noted in the real story that he was controlling?
I mean, I'll tell you just from the Craigslist killer that like it's shockingly parallel sometimes what they're able to do with these movies.
Okay.
Like it's real. I'm sure this is a real life example of some
yeah.
sort. And I'm sure the pizza restaurant is a real life example as
right.
well.
Right.
But let's play this scene where daddy rolls up to the police, whatever it's called, police station. And he meets with these Australian cops who they have this like they have that classic board that they have up everywhere where they're like linking with red string
right.
all the different pieces of the crime together. And I just wrote to myself, like, did they have this up after all these years, or did they just like whip this together quickly again?
Right. They're but like, this case, we got something on this case now.
I'm sure murder has like a much less high rate in Australia, so like, they probably have that around. I mean, they said it was an ongoing investigation.
Right.
That's a lot of real estate.
It is.
Yeah. So 319 to 1530.
Companies haul divers out here and they put them in the water near this buoy here, which is attached to a line that leads down to the wreck. Divers descend about 15, 20 meters.
That's 50 or 60 feet, Tommy.
They let go of the line and the current pulls them along over the wreck to a second line that takes them back to the surface. Then they go back to the start, do it all over again.
Now, what we can't understand is how or why did Gabe and Tina swim against the current away from the Yongala to here? And then Tina was found on the bottom of the ocean here. Gabe was the more experienced diver. He was Tina's buddy, and so he's responsible for her.
So when I first started investigating this, it seemed like an ordinary diving accident. I did lots of interviews, mostly routine. There was something about Gabe's story that bothered me.
For me, it was the battery in the dive computer.
First time we tried to make it down to the wreck, we only made it about 5-10 feet. Then my dive computer started beeping at me. I thought it was malfunctioning, so we went back up to the boat. Even went to all the trouble of taking off our tanks before I realized I put the battery in backward.
This is his dive computer. He wasn't too happy when we told him he had to keep it.
You already downloaded all the information from it. You don't need to keep it.
Until our investigation is complete.
No, you have Tina's computer. This is mine. I'm taking it home with me.
Sorry, Gabe. I can't release it yet.
Can't release it yet. You know, I've had about enough of these guys. Fine, keep it, but I want a damn receipt, and I want you to write down your little book here that's worth $1,500.
Forensics tested the computer in their lab with the battery in backwards. They tested it in the water, out of the water. It doesn't make a bloody sound.
The man was lying through his teeth, Tommy. So once we discovered one lie, we went looking for others.
And we compared Gabe's story to the printout from his dive computer.
And we found one inconsistency after another. Tommy, what do you think of Gabe Watson? Did you ever find his behavior disturbing?
Okay. Oh my God. So there's a lot to unpack. Like, I didn't, okay. So there, thank God we recapped the anniversary because I did not mean to unroll all that much at the top. Do you want to know what my takeaway was from like the interview scene?
Tell me.
He's a money namer. Like, he's a price tag dropper.
I was going to say that, too. He's freaking out over the $1,500 price tag because he wants to seem bigger than he is. I spent $1,500 on that computer.
Yeah.
That's what he's focusing on rather than that he's being charged with murder.
That, and then, like, he mentions money at the beginning, how much money he makes off of bubble wrap. Later on, he says how much the honeymoon costs.
Another red flag. Not necessarily for an abusive person, but for a shit person.
It's a shit person move.
Right.
And, like, I do think that cheapness does have some sort of correlation to like just bad behavior.
Totally.
Like, it's one thing to be frugal, but it's another thing when you're just like dropping price tags. That really bothers me.
Well, it's like a way of guilting people into a situation. I don't care about being, has nothing to do with being frugal. It's about using money as a way to manipulate people around you.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, because it's like, it can be used many ways. It can be used to say like, I'm a bigger person than you.
Right.
It can be used to say like, look how far I've been put out.
Which he does both.
Right.
He does both of those things.
So just always be careful of people who talk about money. There's that. I do like that the cops are so down to work with the dad from the jump.
Totally.
They just want help, which I like because I feel like in any interaction I've ever had with the cops or seen other people have, like they want you to say and do as little as possible.
Absolutely.
They have no interest in helping you. But then we should also say that the computer that they're discussing or talking about is a dive computer, which I am new to.
It's that was. This is like record your monitor, like your swimming shit.
Yeah. Like, I think like basically you just, that tells you everything. It records, but also like it kind of lets you know to what to anticipate, what the winds are, what the tides are, whatever.
And Gabe's computer was conveniently not working.
Yeah. He like did create a nice little alibi for that not to be working, which made me wonder like how there was so many points during this where I was like, this is where the plot started.
No, right.
This is where the plot started.
Right.
And I think it started probably way earlier than anyone would like care to imagine. But then finally we get to this dinner scene, which is just so triggering.
It's so triggering. It's like first, like, you can just see how nervous and, like, the apologetic abused partner, like, she's, like, such the apologetic abused partner in this scene where she's like, he's not usually this late. Like, she's embarrassed. It's like, and Gabe is so fucking selfish because, like, first of all, if I'm at a dinner and someone is, like, taking like way too long to get there and no one's ordered yet. Like, I want to fucking order the food. Like, if you're going to be that late, you call them and you're like, I'm going to be late. Please order appetizers without me.
Yeah.
Please start without me, especially if it's the anniversary or his birthday dinner, the dad's birthday dinner.
Yeah. And we see he has a cell phone because he rolls up to the table on it, which, like, I think we should also give a little context to this. Like, that was like the rudest thing you could do in 2003.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's still like not great. It doesn't look great, but I think we've all like let a lot of sensitivity surrounding phones.
Like, but not everyone still had, like, especially in Alabama, like, I don't think everybody had a cell phone in 2003. I had just gotten a cell phone in 2003. Yeah. And, you know, it's still like a taboo. It's like, oh, Mr. Cell Phone over here.
Yeah, that's when I got my, like, right before college. Exactly. Yeah, so it was like, very, yeah.
Like, he's on his, like, stupid little flip phone that you know he wears on a little holster on his belt.
Closing his bubble wrap deal.
Right.
Which, like, what could it possibly be? This is a great use of Roll Tide, by the way. I loved it.
It was so, really good.
Like, it was so casual.
Right. And he just, like, rolls into this dinner. Everyone's starving. And, like, I would be reacting just like this older sister, the brunette sister, was reacting. Yeah. I'd be like, we're starving. Because, like, when I'm hungry, it's not a good time for
anybody. No, it's not a good time. And it's just so rude. Like, I
understand. On a lot of levels.
Yeah. It's everything about it is rude and it's embarrassing. And like, on top of that, it's not just her that's tiptoeing around everything. Like, the whole family at this point, you think that they're just like maybe trying to spare her some grief.
Right.
Or they're so mortified that this is so out of hand that they're almost taking some responsibility for it.
Right. And the mom is like so pained and so uncomfortable in this scene. I feel so bad for her. So he gets there. He gets to the dinner table. And not only is he on his cell phone, he doesn't even apologize when he gets off the phone. Like, no. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
He's not even apologetic. That he's being totally – he's doing that thing where he's, like, just being a little shit where he's giving one-word answers to the dad who's, like, trying to engage him. Like, what are we having for drinks?
Right.
He's, like, he's not being a participant in the dinner. He doesn't want to be there. He even goes as far to say – he gets back on the phone like 30 seconds later, unbelievably, at the table, sitting at the table on the phone. And he's like, literally says out loud, I'm being pressured into a dinner.
Yeah.
Like,
he puts everyone out.
He couldn't be much more of a dick.
And like, the whole thing too is that like, the dad gets up from the table. So like, this abusive display goes on in front of the three women of the family while the dad's gone. And I wonder if, I don't know if that would have played out differently if the dad had been at the table.
He gets in such a rage because he's called out for his behavior. And this is what abusive men do when they're called out for their behavior, like, and narcissistic men, they can't fucking handle it.
Uh-huh.
Especially if a woman is calling them out for bad behavior.
I think that, like, the attitude that he had where it's like, he kind of didn't have to apologize is maybe like, listen, I'm going to be taking care of your daughter. I have to do business. Like, it's also very, like, downplaying of, like, her success or her dreams or anything else, which is just like, if you want me to take care of your daughter and like, this is the lifestyle she has, then I got to take phone calls. And
he
like,
thinks you're he's lucky justified.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're lucky I came to your little birthday party, which, by the way, not to shade the family for whatever restaurant they chose, but I felt like that was so obviously like a daytime coffee cafe that they had to like redesign for the purpose of filming into like a restaurant.
It was a little pizza joint.
Yeah. Which I love pizza. I'll eat pizza for a birthday dinner anytime. I had Del Taco on my birthday this year. I don't even care. But he throws the pizza at his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's how angry he gets because he doesn't like onions.
Yeah. It's like, well, they're like, you know, they're like, eat some food. You're grumpy. He's like, oh, great. Pizza. And like the way he does it. Oh, my God. These guys and their like specifics. Like, have you like... I just know that from my experience, it's always like, I can't do that because I'll die, but thanks, asshole. And it's like, dude, like...
First of all, grown men who don't eat vegetables, that's a red flag.
Huge red flag.
I mean, grow up.
Yeah. And also part of me is like, why don't you want to have onions? Because you're going to make out with someone else.
Right. Good point.
Why onions?
Right.
But I also do find people that have like strange, like, I fucking hate garlic. It smells so bad. I'm like, grow up.
Right.
Like 90% of food has garlic in it. And also it's fucking delicious.
You know, that guy thinks pussy smells bad too.
Oh, 100%.
That guy is not a pussy eater. I will say that.
The jokes he and his friends make when they hang out are disgusting.
Absolutely gross.
Absolutely gross.
He thinks that vaginas get bigger the more a woman has sex. And don't let, like, he thinks that, like, he believes
yes.
that.
Yes. Well, everything bad that, like, anything bad a dude can believe. Like, he definitely got his sex ed from his frat bros, for sure.
Totally.
So I love that they were drinking white wine by the way. I love, like, yeah. an older man that drinks white wine.
Yeah, it's cute.
Okay, so they're focusing on the part where he says that she realized she was too far down and he saved himself. And 10 feet down is not very deep.
No.
I do want to point out, too, that I think it's a little morbid that this, like, vacation they're on, like, big part of it is to swim past this, like, sunken boat.
Right.
Because, like, what we learn later on is not only is part of it, like, this tourism of, like, a shipwreck that was horrific, but that there's still dead bodies
That's
inside.
Very symbolic.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also just like, I wouldn't want that.
For a honeymoon, it seems weird.
Really bad juju. Like, yeah. to even have it as a tourist attraction. I feel like that's like, we know it exists.
You're asking for it.
Exactly.
It's like you're asking to be haunted.
One of my favorite ways to watch Lifetime movies is on the Lifetime Movie Club, streaming 100 Lifetime movies anywhere, anytime. New movies are rotated in weekly, so you will never run out of new juicy movies to watch. Plus, listeners of Mother May I Sleep A podcast get an exclusive 1 month free trial. Just go to lifetimemovieclub.com/malls, and if you're still not convinced, let me tell you about this month's movies. We've got I Am Elizabeth Smart, which I believe was produced by Elizabeth Smart, has Skeet Ulrich in it, and it is beyond creepy. It really... If you ever thought you knew what happened to Elizabeth Smart, watch this because you didn't. Cocaine Godmother is on there. How could anyone not watch a movie called Cocaine Godmother? And Rules, Too Late to Say Goodbye, and Committed. Again, to get your free month of Lifetime Movie Club, go to lifetimemovieclub.com/malls. That's lifetimemovieclub.com/MOLLS for the exclusive to us offer of 1 free month. So they're like, he's lying about what he said because he killed Christina. And then we go to an interview, Mr. Thomas. Oh, he goes to a doctor. He goes to the doctor that was on the boat at the same time. And he tells him that he was on a different boat, but he saw them about 10 meters down. She was a small woman. She was in distress. And he said, suddenly a larger diver dropped down on top of her and held her. I thought, okay, he's going to take her to the surface. So then the dad looks at him like, did it look like bad? Was he doing something wrong? And he's like, I thought he was like giving her a hug or something, but maybe right. he was fucking with her air supply. He didn't eject her vest either or take her to surface, which I didn't realize there was a vest.
Yeah.
That seems so obvious.
Right.
So we go to 4 years earlier. It's the big proposal. There's like kind of a fake out proposal at first where he's been holding onto this ring for a long time.
I wrote about that. This was so fucked up and twisted yeah. and demented of him. Basically, Gabe was keeping an engagement ring that he said he was going to propose to Tina with, basically as she behaved, essentially. Yeah. Like, that was the message he was sending her. Like, you behave and you be a good little girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then you can be a wife. And he's basically dangling this ring on a, like, carrot for her.
Yeah.
Like, he's keeping the ring by the TV in a little box. Like, look, one day I'll propose to you.
Yeah. It's like reverse of when they used to, cause like there's no good happy ending really possibly. Or like when you were a kid and like your Christmas presents would yeah. be under the tree.
Yeah.
And you'd just be like, am I seriously not supposed to touch those?
Right.
Like every day. Right. And so if I was her, I would have fucking melted down a lot more than she did, but she right. didn't really. She goes and talks to her dad though. And is basically like, I feel like he's taunting me with this ring. And her dad's like, no one would do that to you if they care about you.
Exactly.
And she's like, you don't know Gabe. He's probably planning some giant thing, which is just, it's all
such
so
denial.
Fucking painful. It's so painful to watch. And like, again, why this sounds terrible, but like if someone had to perish in this situation, if I was in that situation and I had been telling my mom was clearly bullshit, clearly right. brainwashed, that would haunt me for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
At least he can view his daughter as like a victim of this horrible man. Like if it was the other way around and I had to like, my mom was dead and the last communication I'd had with her is then like, fuck you don't know my fiance.
Right.
It would kill me.
Absolutely.
Christina has passed, and the mom, the dad, and the sister are getting the phone call about it happening, the kind of the breakdown of what really happened. And they say, like, was she alone? Like, were you holding her hand when they were doing CPR?
Oh, my God.
And he's like, I was right there the whole time. And the dad's like, did she know you were there? And he's like, I can't really talk right now.
He's a fucking liar.
Yeah. I mean, not only is he a liar, but, like, that is such a admittance.
He does that a lot. I don't want to – why should I talk about it? Like, he does this thing with the dad where the dad's like, do you love my daughter?
Yeah.
Before, when he asks for the dad's blessing.
After he proposes, by the way.
After he proposes. Yep. Which he proposed to her at her office, which is so tacky.
Yeah.
Like – anyway,
it's so odd. It's a really odd proposal.
But he like asked the dad's like, do you love my daughter? And he goes, well, that's personal.
Yeah. It's like between us,
like the dad just asked, like, do you eat her ass?
Right. Right.
Like, that's personal. That's a personal question. Like the dad asked, and I feel like that's the whole purpose of like getting the dad's blessing is so the dad can be like, do you love my fucking daughter?
Totally. Totally. It's like, it sounded like they almost like had an agreement. Like we're not in love, but we want to have a child. You know what I mean? Like that's what it sounded like. There must've been some catch there or whatever. When in reality, there was no catch. You could have just said, fuck yeah, I love your daughter.
Why didn't you just lie?
Be an interesting liar. If you're going to be a liar, like be at least like interesting. Cover your bases. So there's test divers in the water. They're trying to recreate the version of what happened. And Gabe's version does not line up with the story at all.
No.
The bear hug underwater makes no sense. She drifted down abruptly and he swam right up and he didn't try and get her.
No.
So like what you need to picture is that like they're in water, like apparently hugging. Then all of a sudden she sinks to the bottom of the ocean, like a rock and he swims right up. They're saying it all points to the same thing. He must have turned her hair off. So Gabe and Tina are watching TV and she winds up having a fucking breakdown because he's been jerking her around, which by the way, like, let's have a little bit more compassion around breakdowns. I really do think like that needs to exist more because I know that the only time I've ever broken down is I've been pushed to the fucking limit.
And you've been a good little girlfriend and you're not saying anything. I'm not going to say anything. And then finally,
yeah,
it happens. And then the guy acts like, oh, whoa, why are you acting so crazy?
Yeah.
Because I've been holding in all this fucking shit you've been giving me.
Yeah.
For so long.
A moment of humanity, please. Like, can I just be a fucking person? It's so triggering, you guys. 2742 to 2901.
Don't drop out of the pocket and don't throw up your back foot. Come on. We are never going to get a bowl game like this. Whoa, why did you just do that?
Mm-mm. Do you know how long that ring has been sitting there for?
A while. We have the remote.
No, 6 months now.
Give me the remote, Tina.
Do you have any idea how twisted that is? Any idea?
I told you. Must wait for the right time. Thank you. Wow, you've lost
the
your
right mind. Time. Well, you know what? I'm done waiting. That ring can sit there for the next 100 years for all I care.
Yeah, and I told you that female manipulative BS don't work on me, honey. Second down nine from their own
35. Manipulation is your game, not mine. You know, my daddy's been right about you all along.
Your daddy?
Yeah.
Your daddy?
And I'm done defending you.
Go talk to your
daddy. I'm done with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Done.
Go talk to your daddy.
All right.
Who are you throwing the ball to?
You know, I feel like I broke up with him and he doesn't even know it.
I feel like the more their relationship spirals out of control and the more abusive he is, the stronger his Alabama accent gets.
Yeah.
Which is a really creepy choice and I like it.
I like it too. We should mention like something we just kind of noticed, which is that there's a chain link front door, which like, what's the point? It's not keeping mosquitoes out.
No.
I guess maybe robbers, but... Really?
It was an interesting choice of set design.
Yeah, it's definitely a prison in there. And like this scene is so familiar. I think,
oh my God.
Like anyone who has ever had a dipshit boyfriend knows this scene where like you are an accessory at best. Like you are might as well be a table lamp.
Absolutely.
And the like, the other thing, too, is that the ring is sitting right next to the TV, which I didn't really notice that, like, the first time I watched this. But, like, it couldn't be more obviously just sitting there, like, right. taunting her right. all the time.
He did that on purpose. It's not even that she knows he has a ring and he's going to propose at some point. That would be taunting enough. But he actually went to the trouble to specifically place it by the TV so she could watch that ring and not get proposed to.
Yeah, and he has that whole, like, women are the enemy attitude.
Totally.
Which you don't see often, but you kind – I mean, as much anymore because it's harder to get away with that. But it's very, like, Married with Children. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember that? No, ma'am. Like, they used to have
no peg
in the garage.
Oh, yeah. The no, ma'am. No, yeah, ma'am. I do.
Like, and
right.
it was about, like, just, like, how women hold you down right. and turn you into, like, a dickless loser.
Whipped. He's pussy whipped.
Totally pussy whipped. I had a guy say to me, like, maybe 5 years ago, like, oh, my friends are, like, laughing about how whipped I am. And I was like, ew. Like, I haven't even heard someone say whipped. Like,
yeah.
In a decade.
Right.
Like, that's middle school shit.
It is. It's so backwards.
Like, when people weren't even getting pussy was the last time I heard pussy whipped.
Totally.
Like, it's so strange. And I am proud of her, though, because she did what I never did.
She stood up for herself.
Yeah. Like, I would never leave. Like,
right.
I would get my shoes on and get my bag.
And make a scene.
Like, Molly, come here. I'd be like, fine.
Because they're so good at winning you back and dangling that carrot in front of you where you think.
And you want to be won back.
You do want to be won back.
You just want attention.
And you don't want to feel like a fucking idiot for being with this person for however long. You want to be proven wrong.
Yep.
Ugh, yeah, it's such a vicious cycle. I know it so well.
Exactly. Like, that's, I think, probably the hardest part of this movie and most of these movies. But this one in particular, knowing how terribly it ended, is
right.
just like, if you were set up, like, I don't know when it was. Like, was it at birth? Was it, like, through some sort of conditioning? When did it happen? If
right.
you're set up to fall into these traps, like, this is so familiar and so cringy because, you know, even when it was happening, you knew it was bad.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to lie to yourself so much.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. And, like, everyone else, too. And, like, I think that's probably the most embarrassing part for me is just, like, thinking about how many of my friends, like, bit their tongue or said something and I made an excuse. Like, no, 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 but it's fine.
Right.
And we see this with her friend here, her strong lesbian friend.
Right.
Like, you know, basically, like, you should go out with my cousin Alex. He's a great guy.
Right.
Now, did she say Alex or Alice?
She said Alex because we see her go on a date with him.
But it sounded like Alice Cooper. Like, I was like, is it a guy named Alice?
Like,
because she says, what about your cousin Alice? And I was like, is she trying to say Alex?
Maybe she's trying to, like, feel it out. Like, would she be like, ew, girl's gross.
Right.
Then she can move in.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see. I see.
Just saying. I mean, but it's so obvious, like, that this Tina is so straight. Like, Tina is so straight. It's, like, not even, it's really sad. That friend is such a lesbian, though.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Totally. Her friend has had so many sleepovers with her that she hoped would turn one way but didn't.
And you know what? I was the friend. I was the sad lesbian friend that had so many sleepovers that I hoped would turn into something.
We did a call about this on Please Advise recently where someone was like, I'm in love with my best friend. And Christina pointed out, like, what if her best friend's like another chick? And she's like, and
right.
I was like, yeah, that's a really, I didn't think of it. Like, we all sat there and we're
right.
like, oh, she's in love with her best guy friend or whatever.
Right.
But no.
But
what
for,
if?
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. I have compassion for that.
I do too. And for me personally, I haven't had a crush on a straight girl in many years. And I feel like that's such self-growth.
Yeah.
Like, that's self-love.
Yeah.
I don't get crushes on straight women anymore.
I see that with, like, my little gay YouTubers that I watch. I love watching, like, a 22-year-old YouTube gay figuring out his journey. And they're all like, I love straight men. And I'm like, no.
Ugh.
I feel like, I know. I have so many friends who are, like, stuck in that trap.
Right.
And, like, part of it's intriguing and fun for them.
Right.
But it's also like, babe, like, you just are afraid to love.
Right.
You'll learn.
So are we going to talk about the date with Alex?
Yes. So Alex is, like, literally every guy that when I think about where I am now and why I'm not married, I'm like, it's because.
It's because I don't want to date him.
Oh, for me, it's because I'm consumed with some fucking asshole.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
I don't want to date Alex
because
he's
nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is, right? But then I look back and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I had this guy from Alabama in college who was like fucking rich and like so nice and like so obsessed with me.
Right.
And I would just be like, no, never gonna happen.
Yeah.
And like by the time I was on my like third getting back together with my ex-boyfriend in college, I was like, maybe you should see if he's single. Totally taken, totally married that girl. And I look back on that and I'm like, obviously he wasn't for you because it didn't work out universally speaking or whatever. Right. But like, it's tough to look back and be like, that was a nice fucking guy.
Right.
And this could have been where she turned a corner, but it just wasn't there. She likes that.
Yeah. He got her nice flowers.
Took her to an art exhibit.
Right.
And like, they were having kind of like relationship talks on the first date where
they had a good date.
Yeah, they had a great date. And like, we're both very aware of the fact that someone very important to both of them thought they should be together for a long time.
And like, also, it's not like, okay, so he wasn't that hot, but he wasn't less hot than the fucking meathead boyfriend than Gabe, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was just a little soft. Like, it wasn't, like, hunky, but, like, also now that we know what Gabe looks like in real life, like, how bad could this guy have fucking been? He looks like a shoehorn or something.
he does look like a shoehorn.
He's not attractive. He's really unattractive and just, like...
He looks like the walrus and the carpenter, but he's the carpenter. Yeah. Yes. In Alice in Wonderland.
So they go to like, they're at the end of the date and she gets out of the car. She's holding a beautiful bouquet of flowers and she's like, thank you so much. And he goes in for the kiss and she turns her cheek to him. And I just like thought to myself, like, this is so 1960s. Like the way that she kind of gave him the cheek.
Right.
I feel like I'd be like, ew, no. Or like, not like that mean, but like definitely more.
You'd either say ew, no, or you would guiltily make out with him even though you didn't want to.
Totally.
Like, it's like there's no in between. If you're anything like Tina, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then Tina does. But then this guy gets like kind of like a little shade of like MRA, like incel, where he's like, well, geez, I guess that date didn't work out, where he's like all like kind of guilty.
He's like, there won't be a
her.
Date number two, huh?
I mean, that wasn't that bad, but he kind of like
MRA,
men's rights activist. Oh, right. Like, he kind of gets like that sad nerd where it's like, shut up, like just be grateful that this girl went on a date with you. Like, it didn't work out. It didn't have to work out.
I am realizing now, looking back, like how many guys I've gone out with that were total incels.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just guys that I'm like, oh, like I said yes to you because I thought, I literally had a guy once after a date be like, I just want you to know, like, I don't get my car cleaned for anyone. And I was like, thank you. And I was like, I know. Like, I really was. Like, I was flattered because I could tell that, like, for him, he went way outside of his normal. Like, I was a big, like, catch for him.
Right.
And I just was like, I can't. Like, you're dressed like an elf and you cleaned your car. Like, he was wearing a mini vest. And, like, he was so sweet. But, like, now I'm like, of course, like, you felt, like, entitled to getting, like, a little action or something because you put your car and put on a vest.
Well, when you can see a guy is visually disappointed that you don't want to hook up with them, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Like, you can be disappointed that the girl doesn't want to fuck you, but if you, like, visualize that in a way where the girl now feels guilty, that's where it's, like, fucked up.
Especially when, like, on paper, off paper, in anyone's, like, reality, like, this is his big date night. Like, this
totally.
Is, it's, like, so cool that, like, a girl is talking to him, like, let alone a girl that's, like, not, like...
the shoehorn.
Didn't need a Dungeons and Dragons or something.
Right.
God bless. I took Dungeons and Dragons at the library.
But then she invites him in for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, which, by the way, is literally just a cup of coffee. Like, that I also thought was, like, that's so me. I'm such a moron where, like, I... draw a hard line and I'm like, no. But then I'm like, but if you want to come in for a drink, like, as if like instant friendship is possible after that.
As if he's not going to still think there's a chance.
Oh, totally.
That you're going to fuck.
That's the guy that's like, you offer when you get inside, you're like, you can have coffee for sure. Like, do you want a beer? And then like he chugs three and you're like, oh.
So God, he's too drunk to drive.
Yeah. Right. He purposely gets
God
too drunk
damn
to drive. But yeah, so then we see that Gabe has been watching all of this from outside.
Oh God.
And I guess this is really the move he needed. This is what he needed in order to go forward. So he walks in to the office. I mean, I don't even know. This is so, it's so performative because this does happen. Like, yes. I've seen these videos online where
guys
like,
who overcompensate for their mediocre relationship and they do these elaborate engagement videos or photo shoots.
Oh, the videos. Like, I thank God that trend started to die a little bit because that was too
I can't do it.
Much for me.
I can't do it. I just, it's such a, because it's like all of a sudden it's for everybody else on yeah. social media. And it's not like, okay, like.
One could argue it's a declaration of love. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just not. Like, when well, you boil him, it down.
What we know about him, and also, like, the fact that he's, like, did it in front of everyone at her office so she couldn't say no, that's manipulative.
There's that. It's also, like, there's proof. Like, also, right. like, oh, yeah, ask anyone in her office, how much do I love you?
Right.
And
exactly.
it's like, oh, they saw the one table scrap you threw me
right.
in 6 months.
The one nice thing you ever did for me.
It's so embarrassing. And I think, like, this was, I don't think this happens as much anymore, but just thinking about someone, my abusive ass boyfriend rolling up to my yeah. cubicle
yeah.
is really, like, rough. So we're going to play the scene next where Gabe goes to her father post-proposal to get permission, which yes. is a real asshole thing
right.
to do.
It is. Like you already asked, dipshit.
I don't have a dad, so, like, that doesn't exist in my life. But, like, I oddly did have one ex, like, ask my mom way before, like, that was even in the picture. Like, from the minute we met, he was, like, told my parents, like, these are my intentions, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which I think set up a really unreasonable expectation, which was also, I think, part of, like, his manipulation tactic yeah. was to just kind of have everyone on the hook for, okay, this is Molly's future husband.
Right.
But to go to someone after, it's such an afterthought. It's so disrespectful and just, like, what an afterthought it is.
And
like, why even bother?
Right. And he's so rude and disrespectful to the
so
dad
rude.
During this meeting.
I mean, for the dad to be able to keep this together is really, like, I think my stepdad would have been like that a little bit. My stepdad
right.
really did, I think, over the years, swallow some shit
yeah.
that he would have, you know, not taken kindly to otherwise. I
yeah.
remember he had, like, a talk with my ex-boyfriend's dad that was really bad.
Really?
And I was wondering when I was watching this last night, what did my ex-boyfriend's dad say
right.
about me? Because I know that my stepdad is, like, a huge, guy at a Fortune 500 company, like VP of sales, like has 3,000 people that are under him. My stepdad left a board meeting to go rip my ex's dad a new asshole.
That's hot.
And I was like, first of all, this is great because my mom didn't marry you till I was 20. So
yeah.
like, you have no domain over me. Like, this might just even be like you getting off on like yelling at another
right,
guy.
Right, right.
But it was great. Like, I look back on that and I'm like, first of all, horrified thinking about what his dad must have said about me.
Right.
Because there was like, he had cheated on me, but like it appeared like I cheated on him. And like,
I love that the dads got involved. That's so like Shakespearean or something.
Well, because he had followed me out here from college and
yeah.
I was like going to live out here no matter what. And then he was like, well, I guess I want to be a writer too. And like, he never got a job. He never did anything. We lived in an apartment together, which
right.
is like why I will not live with someone till I'm married. Like
yeah.
truly.
It's tough.
And he had to get out of the apartment and I was so just dying to make it go away that I was like sleeping on the couch, even though it was like my bed.
Right.
And, like, I had set up the apartment.
You don't even want to be in the house. And
yeah.
even when he's not in the house, neither of you want to be in the house.
Totally.
You're like, this represents bad.
Except he had kind of like wanted to like squat there and like prove a point.
Gross.
And he hadn't gotten a job and I had had a job since I had moved here.
Right.
I was like an executive assistant for like the CEO of a company. So I was working I was coaching his kid's basketball team. I've never played
right.
basketball a day in my life. And like, so I was just drained. And then I had this drain at home. And so I was just like sleeping on the couch, like just trying to get to a point where he would find an apartment and move
yeah.
out.
Right.
And then this whole thing happened where I think ultimately my stepdad like threw him $1,000 to like get out of the place.
Nice.
And like that was ultimately what happened. But I remember my stepdad would like get a little drunk and be like, remember when I told off like so-and-so's dad?
He's proud of that moment.
Oh, he loves it. Cause I also am like I'm the oldest girl. Sammy's like the youngest. She's
yeah.
like 19 or 20 now. So like he's never had the honor of having that opportunity before.
Right.
And I think he probably like daydreamed about one day just like shutting some asshole down.
I would have loved to hear that speech.
Same. And
like in his business suit.
Oh, yeah.
Storming out of his meeting. That's so amazing.
And, like, the best part was that, like, it couldn't be more. It is Shakespearean because his dad, my ex's dad, who is supposed to be this great guy because he's, like, this local fireman.
Yeah.
He was, like, the fire chief of, like, this local town. And so, like, you would think it's, like, oh, the fire chief's a good guy. But no, he was, like, playing dirty. Like, he was playing real dirty. It was some Newton, Massachusetts Italian shit.
This is a Lifetime movie that I want to see.
It was. It ends very briefly with him following Tony Robbins around the country for $100,000 and then consistently emailing me about pyramid schemes. He cares about me.
Okay, wait. Now it's a Duplass Brothers movie, yeah. And I still want
to
see it.
He wants me to get in on the ground level because he cares about me.
Yeah.
Of, like,
I fucking love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's great. So let's play this clip. Okay. 32:05 to 33:36.
And Tina said yes, she wants to marry you.
Well, yes. I mean, have you ever met a girl who wanted a ring on her finger more than Tina? Of course, I wanted to get your blessing.
Gabe, do you love my daughter?
That question is just too corny.
Really?
Yeah.
I still want an answer.
Okay, Tommy. Then my answer is this. That's personal between me and Tina. Now, the important thing is that we're comfortable together.
That's the important thing.
Well, sir, we seem to think so.
You have my blessing.
Thank you, sir. It means a lot.
Goodbye.
I'll just show myself out.
I bet you will.
Goodbye.
Okay, so we just both lit cigarettes because it's smoking time.
Right.
We've reached that point. Wags just dropped his pig on the floor. We're both, by the way, obsessed with Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande, which who knows, this could be a murder-suicide by the time this airs.
And you know what? They're a really good-looking couple, too.
They are.
They make sense.
So over people dogging on Pete Davidson. First
He's
of all,
handsome.
Everyone's calling him poor and weird-looking. And I'm like, if one is mentally ill, they both are.
Right.
Like, this is not a situation you get in on your own.
And you know what? As a mentally ill person,
same.
Like, I would be happy to go on a date with Pete Davidson.
100%. I would totally take that.
He seems like a very sensitive person. He's very handsome and he's really funny.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
And I think Cassie David's doing great, I'm sure. By the way, total departure from this. I'm sure she's doing great, but like she also seems very like feet on the ground.
Wait, who?
Cassie David, his last girlfriend, Larry David's daughter, whoever.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm Team Cassie. And I'm like, I'm sure she dumped him.
Right.
And like, he called up Ariana Grande, who's been secretly texting him for like 3 years.
Right.
But I could totally see. She was the musical guest on his first episode of SNL. Like, right. Of course, that's where a crush starts.
Absolutely.
Okay. Back in the room where they're doing the Charlie Day meme. That's what I wrote here. The police tells, they tell Thomas that based on the ocean reports, there was no way that this could have been the tide or anything. There's no motive. And Thomas is like, I'll give you a motive. So we cut back to Gabe and Tina on their honeymoon. Oh, pre-diving, basically. They're like practicing diving in Alabama. She doesn't want to do this. Like, and I wrote here, girls, if you feel this, don't do it.
Because right.
The whole message of this movie is trust your gut because she, from the second he even said scuba diving,
she tenses
nothing.
Up.
Yeah, she wants nothing to do with it. And so he says, good, because I want a wife who doesn't shop all day. I want a wife who does things that I like to do with me, like fishing and diving.
That was such a bullshit comment he made. Like, it was bullshit against all women. And it was also just like, who cares if your wife likes shopping?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
But also, like, it's as if there's two choices. Like, you get in the ocean and risk your life and do the one thing you hate the most.
Or you're some vapid Barbie.
Bitch.
Right.
Yeah. So, and by the way, I would love to shop all day.
I would too.
I would absolutely love that. Sign me up. Where do I go? I would join a sugar baby website if I was younger. I wish I had had like more self-possession back then.
Right.
Okay. But she says, is there anything you like to do with me? It doesn't involve me going into water. Water freaks me out. I like air. So then we go down to him saying, you know, this is good to know. Also, I need you to make me the beneficiary to your interests.
Never a good sign.
We've got a mortgage now. We've got to take care of each other. And she says, does that mean I don't have to dive until I'm loaded with insurance? Nice typo, Molly. So I want to play – I wrote here that I want to play this part because you can hear the music cues are so great, 34:57 to 35:48. And what we should know is that this is gearing up to, like, the big wedding. There's going to be a huge kind of, like, really quick passage of time coming up.
Yeah, like that.
Great. Well, if I forget to breathe, remember, I'm an organ donor.
That is good to know. Oh, honey, actually, that reminds me. I need you to make me the beneficiary of your insurance.
Ah, way to boost my confidence. Hey.
I know. No. It's serious. Come on. We got a mortgage now. We got to take care of each other. Got to max out our insurance, make sure the other one's covered.
So does that mean I don't have to dive until I'm loaded with insurance?
It's not a joke, honey. Be serious, okay? Just put me on the insurance. I bet you can get it done by Monday.
Okay, fine, Monday.
Go into the chapel and
married. True crime 101, you never open up a life insurance claim.
Never.
Without automatically becoming the number one suspect.
Never. I never tell anyone I'm dating I have life insurance, ever.
Right.
I mean, if they listen to this podcast, God bless, you're an hour and a half in. We probably should get married. But like,
I was going to say.
Yeah, but no, I never tell anyone because it's like, why would you say, like, I have a bounty on my head. Like,
right.
It's insane. This going to the chapel almost feels like a punchline, which feels inappropriate.
Well, it reminded me, I wrote down that I feel like Father of the Bride has the monopoly of using this song.
Absolutely.
For a montage. And this isn't even a montage, which you want it to be a montage, like, of her getting ready and picking the cake and stuff.
Those are the best.
But it's, I love wedding montages.
Best.
I love them. But, like, this isn't a montage. It's just a scene with going to the Chapel of Love playing
right
over, and they're all in this like really just like spare looking sad church.
It's the saddest looking church.
It is the saddest looking church
and
ever.
I'm sure like once you move in the flowers and stuff, but like this is just dark to think about. I mean, I grew up Catholic, so I'm very used to like grand places with like stained glass and like very old Massachusetts shit.
I love that shit.
This looks really barren to me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's like, basically she says to her dad, like at the rehearsal, you know, did you switch the insurance over? And he's like, not yet. I'll get to it. And she's like, well, if he asked, tell him that you did. I don't want to like get him angry.
Oh, that was chilling.
So like the dad is like unsoothed, obviously. And then, they say like, you know, father of the bride walked down the aisle, and then it takes a minute. Like he's thinking about this. And then Gabe grabs her arm and says, if you don't bring her down, I'll do it myself. And he drags her down the aisle.
It's so creepy.
So then we go to the wedding itself, and they're doing the vows, and like, he's kind of like laughing them off. Like
it's almost gross.
Like, it's like embarrassing to him to like do these vows.
I looked up the bride on her wedding day, the real life Tina.
Yeah.
And they actually recreated her wedding look, which I thought was a nice touch.
They did do
like, and I thought her dress was pretty and cute and whatever. Like she looked good on her wedding day, but like it was such a just like sad, spare looking ceremony. Like there was no love. It was nothing special about it. Like the dad is like bummed out.
Are Baptist churches like that?
I don't know.
Also, isn't Baptist like super, super strict? It's, like,
I was going to say,
most strict.
It's like the most hardcore Southern, we hate gay people.
I remember my friend went to a Baptist wedding and like because like you're allowed to drink alcohol, but like it's very like sparingly used. And like everyone at the wedding got one glass of wine and you had to get in line to get it at the beginning of the night.
Look, I'm sober, but at my wedding, I want people to be getting shit faced.
Sure.
Because it's a wedding. I would never deprive my guests of alcohol.
Totally.
At a wedding.
It's such, first of all, it's like, yeah, I don't know why booze is such a like instrumental, like, part of a wedding, but it just
it is.
Yeah. But yeah, so right before he kisses her after the vows, before he even kisses her, he goes, "Now you're all mine." And it just is so thick with meaning.
Right. It seals the deal of like, oh, he's like, this is property.
He might as well say like, now I've got that insurance policy on lock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, if you're about to marry someone and they're, like, more obsessed with the insurance policy than you, that's a big sign.
Right.
So then we go to the police giving a press conference in Australia, and they say that they're doing an investigation into Tina's death. It's remained open and active, but today the investigation is going to the next level. There's new evidence. And the coroner made a decision that the cause of death is now asphyxiation, not drowning. So this is this is officially a murder. So then Gabe is having sex with some girl who I thought was Tina.
I did too. I was like, oh, is this a flashback? But no.
No, it's not. And like, he basically got like a diet Tina.
It was diet Tina. Yeah. Budget Tina.
And like, it's sad because she's not. Can you imagine being cast in a movie and being like, I'm being cast because I'm slightly less attractive than
right.
the real actress.
Right.
But he sees Tina's face as he's having sex with her, kind of like gets up and says he's going to go get a glass of water. Like when he walks out of the room, he has the look on his face of, like, what you would imagine, like, if that was someone he picked up drunk and
yeah.
was, like, disgusted with himself.
I thought it was a one-night stand.
Totally.
Because that's how he was acting. He was acting like it was a one-night stand and, like, he couldn't maintain an erection.
Totally. Like, oh, God, I just realized what I did.
Right.
So he walks out to the living room and, all of a sudden all these cars pull up.
And he's
cars.
Like, oh no, 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 no. Like he does this weird reaction to it.
As if he's been waiting for it.
Right.
Which I guess you would be if you murdered someone.
Yeah.
So the girl he's sleeping with comes out. She looks so disappointed in him. Now I guess it's his new fiance.
And you know, he knows how to pick him because she is just as, what's wrong with him? I love him. He loves me.
She's so malleable.
She's so malleable.
Yeah, she's like ready to believe whatever he says. So
right.
We cut to Anderson Cooper. This is like original news footage.
I was like, wait, did he do the movie? At first, I was like, oh my God, way to go.
Because like Nancy Grace will do these sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But Anderson Cooper, come on, he's a Vanderbilt. So the news story here is huge. Gabe is talking to his lawyer, and he says that all he wants to sue the police for all of this. He's been dragged through the mud because of Tommy Thomas. We cut to the news. There's a Gabe piece, and then Tommy's at another station. And Gabe's new fiance is really upset about all of this, which is good. I mean, I think this is good. She has concerns. Sometimes
right.
these people are like very
stand by your man no matter what.
Yeah, like just. So, 41, 55 to 44, 24. This is a very hip clip-heavy movie, but I feel like I'm cheating you guys if I don't play these. This is such a good movie.
Yeah.
But we're making headway.
Almost 5 years after Alabama native Tina Watson was found dead on the bottom of the ocean off the coast of Australia. Her husband, David Gabriel Watson, has been charged with murder.
Well, it's an absolutely astounding case. Witnesses say they saw him give her a giant bear hug and then swim in the opposite direction. Prosecutors had believed that he actually turned off her oxygen tank.
Do not tell me to calm down. No, Samuels, stop talking. I need you to get these charges dropped now, today, not tomorrow, but right now.
Babe, do you have anything to say about being charged with your wife's murder? The Australians have issued an indictment against you.
Yeah, well, they're morons than ever heard, Tina.
They say they're going to start extradition proceedings. Care to comment?
They're going to have to drag me back there kicking and screaming. Move.
Welcome back. We understand you've just come back from Australia.
Now, this is the photo that made international headlines weeks after Tina died. And it caused a lot of speculation about whether her new husband, Gabe Watson, had something to do with her death.
The press called him the honeymoon killer.
He has now been indicted for murder.
And we want to make sure he stands trial.
How insane is that, going on TV with this crap attacking me? I mean, Tina's rolling around in her grave right now. A grave that's in his plot, by the way, which I can't tell you how I agree to that. Well, what's wrong with you? You knew about this honeymoon killer BS long before we hooked up.
Well, rumors are one thing, but you're being charged, Gabe. Did the police know something I don't?
No. There's nothing to know. I have no idea why Tina went down. She just went down.
Then why are the police saying that? Why are they...
Because he is psycho. He always has been when it came to her, and she knew it. And every time he would try to dish out some BS about me, she'd stand by me. Why can't you stand by me, huh? Is it because she loved me more than you?
Say that, please.
Then do not make me defend myself in my own house.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Watch what you want.
Okay.
So we just had a realization while we were watching this, which is that this picture of her dead in the water, he looks like he's booking it the fuck out. I mean, I'll show you right now. Like, it looks like a meme. Like, the wandering boyfriend. This could easily...
It could replace that dumb meme that's, like, I'm so tired of already. That's, been going on for, like, a year.
Is that the butterfly thing with, like, the guy?
Yeah, it could replace that, and it could replace the wandering eye boyfriend that people still do captions for. Like, this is the new caption meme that
Honestly, we should do a caption contest, like, within the community. By the way, people still... We are talking about what you guys want to be called as an audience, so make sure you go to 8 Inches Uncut, the Mother May I Sleep With podcast story. That's our Facebook group. 8, as in, like, just type the number 8, and nominate a name for this group, because this is the most, it's the most memeable shit. If this wasn't literally a murdered woman,
basically the image is, for those of you who don't know or haven't seen the picture, the image is in the foreground, like in the front and center. Is Gabe.
Do you see, Sammy? Like, this is the most...
It's Gabe in his full scuba suit. And he is, like, the body language in this, he's booking it out of there. Like, he's like, oh, shit, I gotta get out of here. Like, he's twisted around like he's about to start sprinting, even though he's in the water. And then, in the slightly more background, on his left side, there are just two fins that are, like, hastily swimming towards... The dead he body looks like that's he's, in the background.
The dead body is just there, like, it could be just a table lamp. Like, this is, like, something, it's so crazy. And, like, this is also another thing, too, is that, like, why is he there? And then the two fins that are going towards her.
Right.
Clearly trying to save this woman. Right. Like, why can this man save her and you can't?
That's what I'm saying. Like, as the husband, you'd be like, oh, my God, like, I'd rather die than have you sink to the bottom. You know, like, I will die trying to save you. But David's body language is like, oh, shit, like a bee is coming after me.
Like, they just put the pizza out at a pizza party. Like, it really is so sad. It is so sad. He definitely looks like he's got better places to be. Right. So this is sad for a variety of reasons. But as we were also discussing, the thing with Tina, too, is that I don't even know his fiance's name. We'll just call her Tina, too. She... like, and when he says, like, is it because she loved me more? Like, you know that that kills a woman like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, she is prettier than me. She's dead. I can't top that.
Because, look, I have been the uglier of the girlfriends before. Totally. Okay? Like, I know what my boyfriend's exes look like. Or, like, in the, not my boyfriend now, but, like, my current boy, like, totally. Past boyfriends. Like, I always fucking know what the exes
but
look like.
But I don't
like.
Look anymore.
I need to stop doing that for anyone I date. And, like, I've been the uglier person before, and it doesn't feel good when you're in a low self-esteem place like Tina 2.
But what he doesn't realize, or what Tina 2 doesn't realize about herself, is that unlike Tina 1, she has, like, no will to live. And that's more attractive to him than anything.
Totally.
Like, she... She throws the remote at her.
She's not ever going to fight back.
Oh, no, never. No, never. And, like, when we see the extent, like, how far this goes, like, they deserve each other. But, can you imagine, like, just to spoil the ending. Can you imagine waiting at the airport to pick up your boyfriend who's just served 18 months in jail for murdering his first wife?
Right. How humiliating.
With a sign that says, welcome home, babe. So wrong.
And you know he smells like shit, too, because he's also been on a... He just got out of prison, and he's been on an airplane for 15 hours straight.
He's been wearing his college t-shirt on the plane that was probably never washed when he checked into jail.
No.
I always think about that because I watched 60 Days In, do you know what 60 Days In is?
Mm-mm.
They put people who never committed a crime in jail for 60 days.
Just to do it?
Immerse them in general population so that they get the idea. And no one knows that they're there. And so A&E obviously was only able to run this for two seasons.
Right.
Because now it's a potential danger.
Right.
But the whole thing is that you go in with white underwear and a white bra and a white t-shirt, and you have to kind of mess them up so they look not brand new, so people don't know. But if you don't go into jail with the right underwear, you're fucked.
Is that
you have
for real?
Yeah, because you have to wear white undergarments and a white bra, and if you go in with a pink thong, you're never seeing that shit again.
Right.
Until you get out.
Right.
And then who wants to put on that thong?
No. A 2-year-old thong?
That was a leading up to arrest thong.
Whatever you were getting into that night is not good.
It's not good. So no. Doesn't sit well in a Ziploc. So Gabe is with, this is a huge story, by the way. I should just point this out. We've now realized this is international news. So Gabe is with his lawyer saying that all this is a joke. The lawyer seems to think that the fight over the insurance money is a big deal. And then Gabe's her dad got it. All I got was her debts. And his lawyer's well, you thought you were going to get it. Why did you go to her office and clean out her desk and ask about insurance? He's I went to go get her iPod.
And I'm that doesn't make you look any better that he said that. It's not he could have lied and been I went to go look at a photograph she had of us. He says iPod. It's
especially during this time, iPods were still relatively new. That had a good street value.
Right.
Now if some guy said, I went to go get my wife's iPod, I'd be oh, that's sentimental fuck.
Right. He wanted my playlists on it. He wanted to listen to my music. That's but back in 2003, they've been out for 2 years at that point. That is expensive piece of property.
It was a TI 183 or whatever. Those
calculators.
They were so fucking huge back then.
Yeah.
So Tommy and her mom go to leave flowers at the grave, but the flowers they left last week are gone.
I just want to make a note about the flowers.
Yeah.
The flowers.
Oh, wait. I forgot to say he had her body exhumed out of spite.
Oh, that was so gross.
I totally missed that.
Right.
So Tommy Thomas goes to go put flowers down at his daughter's grave, and he's having the body exhumed from the gravesite, which he thought was Gabe thought this was bullshit that he was even buried. But I was with them. But I was Gabe, you were married for a week.
And it's not that he cares about Tina. He just wants control of her body even after her death.
It's his minimal control. He's flexing his minimal control.
Right.
Sorry. So anyway, what were you saying?
The
flowers.
The parents are bringing flowers. And I just have to say that the flowers that Alex got for her on the date were a lot nicer than the flowers
I know
that they left on her grave. I know that's really rude. But
I will say though that it was a pretty beautiful arrangement, all things considered.
Yeah.
Because when I think about if I ever die in LA and someone buys me the flowers that they sell outside of Forest Lawn, when you get off that freeway exit and they have those dyed daisies that are blue.
I don't want those dyed daisies.
I would die again. I would rise just to die again.
The ones that the artificially colored, no.
Those really upset me.
I don't want those.
And those are exactly what they have. So when you think about what people typically put outside of graves, I did think it was a generous arrangement. It was
a nice arrangement. I'm just being a bitch. I just thought the flowers.
I thought
the flowers wrapped up in the butcher paper that Alex
they
gave
were kind
were
of
nicer.
Hipstery.
They were hipstery. They
Which
were nicer.
I thought a nice, I mean, that's, he had to go somewhere for that in Alabama. They don't just have that everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So we cut back to Australia. Tina's I love being married. They're on a boat. And he's you certainly liked it last night. Should have put that in the vows. I promised to keep you satisfied, which is so gross.
It was so disgusting.
Cause
you know, he's not satisfying her, but Tina Tina thinks she's being satisfied cause she's never had a real orgasm before.
Right.
So she's oh, this is what good sex is like.
Right. Oh my God. You're so right. Oh yeah. You're so right. I mean, to me, I just thought it was pervy. Cause I was if it was great, we wouldn't have to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's flexing again. This guy loves to flex.
And they're also, like, on, like, it seems like a family, like, day trip sort of boat. Like, it's not, like, a romantic little boat ride, but they're doing all the Australian things. And then her phone rings, and he's like, don't answer it. Don't. It's going to be your dad. Don't answer it. Which, I mean, it's pretty bold to think that you could answer a cell phone on a moving boat.
In Australia.
Yeah, like, there's no... Right. Well, I mean, it's just, like, there's so much wind. Like, you can't...
I wouldn't want to talk on the phone. No. I mean, this is when people used to talk on the phone to each other.
This is a Samsung Flip, though, and, like, in the middle of a windy boat.
I just don't know that she would have even had cell service in Australia. She would have had to pay out the ass for it. Because when I went to Russia in 2004, my Nokia brick phone was not working there.
Dude, when I went to London, like, literally 5 years ago, I had to buy... like a Nokia burner.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't use my iPhone there. I was terrified when I went to Japan thinking I couldn't use my iPhone. But for some
reason... Could you use it?
Verizon, like, has stepped their game up in the last, God. Like, 4 years. But I was, like, literally living off of minutes in London 4 years ago.
Right.
It was, like, yeah. It's, we got to work on that. International relations in terms of cell phones.
Right.
And just in general. So the two of them go to the beach. They're playing around. I thought this was a little, like, pornographic for a beach. Like, the two of them.
Oh, my God. I thought it was wildly inappropriate.
Okay. I'm good. Because I think of you as, like, some sort of, like a wild child sort of. But I was like, ew. Like, are there, like, there's, like, families here. They're, like.
No, it was gross. Because, like, look, I'm a hoe. But there's a time and a place. I have, like, there's a time and a place for that. And, like, it was so. They were, like, at. You're right. They were at, like, a family beach. And basically what happens is she mounts him on the sand and starts, like. Grinding on him.
Surprising for Tina, but that just goes to show his influence, I guess.
She wants to impress him, and she wants to, like, be like, I just want to make him happy.
This is my husband. Like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, the whole, like, honeymoon thing weirds me out because it's like, this is my husband. We fuck now, okay? And it's
right.
Like, ew. Do you know what I mean? It's just, like, the tension of everywhere you go, everyone's being like.
It's all about fucking.
I know who's fucking tonight. Like,
right, because you're on your honeymoon.
That's why I kind of don't even want a wedding because I just don't want everyone to be like, are they going to fuck tonight or no?
Like, well, like, your parents know you're your fucking too.
No, everyone.
So bad.
They just paid for a huge party so you can go get fucked. But she's taking a picture with a koala, really fun. They do the kangaroos and everything.
And she's like, I just want to stay in Sydney.
She's having a lot of fun. He's like, no way are we missing out on the Great Barrier Reef, which, like, true. I wouldn't want to miss out on
I get it. But, like, again, you can see it through snorkeling without having to dive.
And then he makes a terrible joke about, like, come on, like, you're going to miss the chance to get eaten by a shark. And she's like, that's not funny. And he's like, yes, it is. Lighten up.
He's such a fucking dick. I hate him so much. Like, he doesn't even, like, try to make her get into it. He would still be a dick for pressuring her when she clearly didn't want to do it.
Right.
But he's just, like, doesn't even give a shit. He's, like, making her feel bad about herself for being scared.
This is when, like, a supportive great guy would, like, come in with the books about the Great Barrier Reef and be like, watch this movie. Like, let's, like, you know, maybe if you understand more of it, you'll be more open to
it. And if
but
she...
Even if not, cool. But,
and
like,
even if... Yeah, and, like, if she... And the great supportive guy, after doing that... If he could see she, like, did not want to do it, she wouldn't even have to say it. He could just sense, like, she's not comfortable with this.
Well, that's the scary part of all this is that, like, she couldn't have said more times, like,
right.
From the very beginning that she doesn't want to do this.
And he makes her do it.
I just realized it's 9:30. So we have to start to, like, we have to fast forward
it.
A little bit.
Okay.
But anyway, so we find out that he winds up removing the flowers that the parents bought from the grave. It gets caught on video. It goes completely viral.
Right.
Which is great.
It was awesome.
I love that.
I love that too.
Because it couldn't have been more telling.
Right.
Then we find out, go to Queensland, Australia in 2003. Tina sees the boat they're about to get on and right away she's like, this looks like shoddy.
Right.
She's completely unprepared for this. Everyone else there is, like, an experienced person. We learn right away she's motion sick.
And Gabe's bragging to everyone about what an experienced diver he is.
What is he, a rescue diver? So, like, he has no excuse for any of this to happen, by the way. And he says to her, if you keep acting like this, you're going to ruin it for me and ruin it for yourself. So we cut back to lawyers in Alabama. He's like, why do you keep taking me back to the worst day of my life? Then back on the boat, Tina's like, I'm seasick. What if I didn't dive today? And he's like, my parents paid $10,000 for this trip. You have to try harder.
That was bullshit.
Total price tag dropping. This is like another place where I was like, money manipulation, bitch. So that morning at breakfast, the deckhand is like, you should have an orientation because like this is really like chaotic wind today. And Gabe's like, don't worry about it. I'm a rescue diver. And Tina's like, well, like, yeah, like I'll go just go with him. But then she turns to him and is like, I don't know. Like, should we do this? He's like, no. So day of the dive, Gabe is loading her up with weights. I didn't realize that you had to be weighted.
I didn't either. I learned something new.
Yeah. And apparently, even though she's a really like little girl, they were like, she had way too much weight on her. She could have like sufficed without it. But he kept saying that like,
he kept pushing for more weight.
It's salt water, so you need more weight. Which is like, that's something that if someone said that to me, I'd be like, well, what the fuck do I know about salt water? Sure.
Right.
She's
wearing a really cute purple wetsuit.
Really cute. I thought she looked great in her wetsuit.
Right,
like
me too.
The first thing I thought, I was like, if I was an actress and I had to get into a wetsuit,
I would be upset.
I would just be like green juicing for 2 months.
Same.
And her friend on the boat, like they get into the water and like they get down and his computer isn't working. So they come back up. He figures out what's going on with his computer. And meanwhile, she's met a friend on the boat who's also on her honeymoon. And the friend's like, you don't have to go back if you don't want. And she's like, I feel like I kind of have to. And like that is tough. It's like very similar to the wedding situation where she's saying like, just say that the insurance is taken care of. So we're all set.
She wants to placate him.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the thing with doing that with scuba diving is like the only thing that's at stake is your fucking life. Right. So let's just play 101.35 to 103.34.
Wait, now they think I faked a broken computer?
Well, they tested the computer and they said that it just wouldn't beep if the battery was in backwards.
Well, the battery wasn't in backwards in the computer. It was backwards in the wire transmitter.
Okay, Gabe, you never said anything about your wire transmitter in your original statement.
Nobody ever asked me about the damn wire transmitter.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, look. I don't need my own lawyer doubting me. Either you believe me or I'll find myself a new lawyer. I'll let you decide today, okay? But hold on, wait a minute. That bit that they think I was trying to separate Tina from the rest of the divers, well, that's just plain dumb. There's no way you can do that. There's no way you can make that dive without people around. There are divers everywhere. What's wrong?
I don't know. I don't really feel very comfortable.
It's gonna be fun. Come on. You wanna go first?
Have I got enough air?
What's that?
I just said I don't think I have enough air.
You got enough air, babe. We checked it before we went.
Okay.
How about you go down first?
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Come on. Ready? Okay. All right. Put your rag in.
This is one. Where is it?
Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
I just wrote here, I've never seen want to do something less. Like, every single part of her doesn't want to do that. When she's underwater, she's holding onto this rope that's attached to a buoy.
She's not into it. She's so scared. And even when she's like, there's one point where she's pointing up, like, I need to go up. I need to go up.
Yeah. And he's like, no. And he grabs her hand and, like, drags her through the water. Like, taking her from the one thing that she feels safe about, which is that rope. So at one point, like, we see the whole thing happen where it's, like, difficult to explain. But essentially, because I don't know, like, also the mechanics of scuba diving. But something happens where they're together 1 minute. He grabs her, sort of. She clearly is saying, I want to go up. Then all of a sudden, we see him come up for air. And he's like, what happened? And someone says, what happened? And he says, I lost my wife. So they put her on another boat and they start giving her CPR. He's on one boat. She's on the other.
And they're like, the guy on the boat that he's on is like, don't you want to go be with your wife right now? And he's like, no.
This is the guy from Miami that we meet later. And he starts to kind of explain the story to the guy. And the guy's like, you better come up with a different story because what you just said couldn't happen. And then his wife's like, you know, we should go over to the other boat. And he's like, no, I'll just get in the way, which is a really odd thought to have in that moment.
That's like the biggest red flag ever.
I don't know how he thought he was going to pull that off.
Like he wasn't even acting like the concerned husband.
No. And like the worst part is that like when they come over and say she died,
he laughs.
And there are people that do that, but like,
but everything we know about him up to this point, to see him laugh when they say that, it's right. Not a laugh out of like shock and utter bereft. Like he's just like,
like you can't be serious. Oh wait, you're serious. And he sits down and he's kind of like smiling and holding his head. And so we go back to the boat a second later where they're all, I guess, transporting her dead body back to shore. And
the people who don't even know her are crying.
They're like mourning. And one woman says like, is there anything I can do? Can I call anyone? And he goes, I gotta call people. Like, it's a burden to him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would guess that is something.
And then he does call the dad.
He calls his own dad, and his dad calls Tom.
Right.
And I would say Harvey Keitel, I have to say, I always look for that big moment.
He had a moment. His moment in the shower and the bathroom was a great moment.
He was seizing. Like, I literally, at one point, I was like, is he going to have a fucking heart attack?
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was having, like, a health issue.
It was a good acting moment, I felt.
So we go back to Alabama in 2009. We see that his fiance, Gabe's current fiance, Tina, too, is being, hounded by the press, the police, whatever. Gabe's lawyer is leveling him with him, like, which I love. Like, I love that moment with a lawyer where they're like, I'm not even going to gas you up. This looks fucking bad.
Right.
And like, I'm going to do what I can, but whatever. Greg Campbell calls Tommy and says he's the guy in, he's the detective in Australia. And he says that Gabe has voluntarily turned himself in so he can prove he's not guilty of murder. And the detective asks him why the change of heart, why would he leave his new wife? Because he says to his wife, like right when she's like, can we get rid of these police or whatever? He says to his wife, let's get married. Let's get married this weekend. So they do a quickie wedding. Then he turns himself in Australia. They act like this is like a 15-minute flight.
Right.
He says, well, we'll see what the jury says about that. And then Greg says that. And then Gabe says, maybe we will, maybe we won't. So he agrees to take a lesser charge of negligence, manslaughter. So it's on his terms. Then we cut back to him in the morgue, which is a clip that, like, I don't think this got enough heat. IMDb did say that there was, like, a goof here because you could see her stomach moving in the morgue. Like, she's breathing. And also, why is her corpse smiling? But he, like, gives her a little speech, and he says to her dead body, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I wish I could have done something. And then he takes her engagement ring off of her finger and pockets it.
That was so gross.
Like, how would you explain that to someone?
Right. I was wondering that, too. Like, because they're going to notice, where's her ring?
And that's that, like, psychopath. This is the part of him that thinks he can major in PR, too. Like, he's like, they're so stupid. Like, I'm going to take the ring off of her finger and they can figure it out later.
Right.
Like, or, like, if they ask, I'll just be like, I want it as a token. Not right. Like, this is potential evidence in a murder investigation. Like, he just isn't taking it seriously.
Yeah. And he's like, I can cash this in.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Tina's wearing.
Or re-gift the ring to Tina.
Yep. So the cop is furious, but the judge reminds him that the evidence is super flimsy, which is important. And I do love this. You can play this clip in 11935 to 12106.
Mr. Watson, you have acknowledged an understanding of the charges against you. In the charge of murder, how do you plead?
Not guilty.
And in the charge of negligent manslaughter, how do you plead?
Guilty.
After reviewing the case, I find your decision to abandon your wife when she was fighting for her life reprehensible. You were her sole means of survival and you turned away. And this displays an appalling lack of character. And causing unnecessary death deserves criminal punishment. But by your plea, you do not seek to pretend that your actions were anything other than what they were. And you have spared the deceased's family the agony of a trial. You have saved the community the expense of conducting a trial. And I regard your plea as a recognition of your wrongdoing and an expression of your remorse. And I hereby sentence you to 12 months at hard labor to be served in the general prison population.
Oh. All rise.
The judges there are...
Oh, their wig?
He's dressed like Paul Revere.
I was going to say, like, when they gave, like, a close-up on the judge's wig, and it was, like, this tight white curl.
It's so bad.
It was awful.
Well, like, his was almost, like, tinted blonde a little bit, which I really liked. Because, like, this is the type of court where I forget that this happens, but, like, in certain courts, like, the lawyers wear... sort of like gowns and wigs.
Like everyone in England, Canada, and Australia. Like if I was in, I couldn't take it seriously if I had to look up at the judge.
No.
Dressed in cosplay.
Like why though? I mean, I guess maybe there has to be obviously some significance to it, but it just feels so antiquated that it right. like, makes a mockery of their whole process.
Totally. It's like a joke. It's like a performance.
And I mean, when an American walks into your court, I mean, it's just, they can't, yeah. So it turns out our boy Gabe gets a year in prison. 12 months he's sentenced to. And, like, right. the judge, obviously, as we heard in the clip, is, like, very... He's not Team Gabe. But, like, Gabe played his cards right.
Right.
Exactly.
He got the deal.
And so the investigator tells Tommy not to be sorry. Tommy asks the lawyer if the prosecutor made a deal with Gabe before he left America. And then Tommy gives a speech to the press where he basically is like, I don't know how to put this except to say that the judge and the prosecutor cared more about Mr. Watson and his embarrassment about being brought up on murder charges and allowed him to plead guilty to manslaughter. That's a joke. The judge ruled that he let my daughter sink to the bottom of the ocean rather than get help.
Right.
I'd say he swam in the wrong direction. He could have given her oxygen. The judge said that. So he's pissed. Rightfully so. I mean, this is an absolute mess.
Right.
I'm going to play this clip. This is basically the whole, like, him getting brought into jail and everything like that.
In an Australian court earlier this week, Gabe Watson was convicted of negligent manslaughter. His sentence of 12 months in prison was increased to 18 months after Tina Watson's family and the prosecutors protested his light jail sentence.
Gabe Watson says his wife drowned due to inexperience, yet he pleaded guilty to criminally negligent manslaughter in Australia. He served time in prison there.
Oh, come on. Land this bad boy. No, I'm sorry, man. I want to get on the ground, you know. I've been out of the country for about a year and a half. You know, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to find a nice piece of American soil and I'm going to kiss it. Then I'm going to find a cheeseburger and I'm going to kiss that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Then I'm going to find my wife and I'm going to kiss her for about 2 days. Yeah. Come on.
This is your captain speaking. Flight attendants, prepare for landing.
Okay, here we go. All right. How to get my life back.
David Gabriel Watson, Special Agent Fowler of the FBI. You're under arrest for the planning and premeditated murder of Christina Watson in the state of Alabama. You have the right to remain silent.
This isn't right. You can't do this. No, this is illegal. Have you not heard of double jeopardy?
Pleading guilty to manslaughter in Australia does not get you out of murder charges in Alabama. Let's start again.
Okay.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you. Do you understand these rights as I've explained them to you?
Yeah, I got it. Why don't you get my bag?
Gabe Watson, a.k.a. the Honeymoon Killer, is back on U.S. soil and in the custody of police 7 years after allegedly murdering his wife of just 11 days. Watson's attorney says that he paid his dues by serving time for involuntary manslaughter in Australia.
I didn't kill your daughter.
Mr. Watson, how do you address the charges that you are in fact guilty of?
Would you like to make any comment?
It's a very complicated case. I want to talk about it with legal analyst Sonny Hostin, a former prosecutor. It seemed the prosecution was stunned that the judge threw this out. Were you?
I think it's just extraordinary that this case never went to the jury.
And today, Gabe Watson is a free man after an extraordinary week in an Alabama court. The case was thrown out by the Jefferson County Circuit Judge, citing lack of evidence.
All right, we got food here. All right, guys. Maddie, do me a favor, brother.
Yo.
These aren't ready yet.
Okay.
Cammy, honey, will you take these, put them on the table for me?
So we find out that they actually were able to extend his charge to 18 months because of, I guess, public uproar.
Right.
And, like, just people agreeing that this was absolutely ridiculous. And on the plane ride home, he's itching in his skin to get off the plane.
And he keeps saying that to the person next to him. He's like, can't wait to get back on American soil.
Right. And like the guy next to him clearly doesn't know that he's this guy. Like
right.
He just thinks he's a tourist who took too much of an extended vacation.
Yeah.
You know? And it's very awkward because he has no remorse whatsoever, which, I mean, let's say, you know, if you don't think you're guilty of this, which I'm sure he knows he is, but if you don't think you're guilty of this, I could see that being, you know,
you're excited to, like, never go back to Australia again.
But, like, I would think that you'd almost have, like, a peace about you that comes with serving that amount of time where it's just, like, you're humble and you've gained some patience.
And he is not because he sucks.
He's itching out of his skin to get there. So they get to the airport. There's, you know, his wife is waiting for him with the welcome home Gabe sign. And right as he gets off the plane, he gets arrested.
So happy about that, to see him get arrested.
I mean, I'm glad they were able to hold him on charges
right.
in the U.S. because I was kind of unaware. I don't know what else it would be except for like lying and wasting police time and
right.
stuff like that. Because how could you charge someone for murder that didn't happen in your country?
Right.
But that said, it didn't work anyway because he was released. I guess 2 weeks into the trial, the judge dismissed it for lack of evidence. So we cut to a barbecue. Which is so, like, wild and inappropriate to undersell it. Like, that they're having, you know, they're frying up steaks.
Right.
And
Tina, too, his new wife, is there acting like she didn't just fucking...
Like, the belle of the ball.
Right. Like, she's not married to a gross murderer who doesn't know how to fuck.
No, and she's so happy.
She's so happy. She's like, oh, look at my little life. It's great. He didn't even get the insurance money. So, like, we live in this dump.
I know.
And
they did,
like,
have a pool, though.
They did have a pool.
Yeah.
But, like, basically there's this scene where she hands him over a tray of really saucy-looking chicken or something, and the sauce gets on Gabe's arm.
And, like, I don't know about you, but I held my breath.
Because
I was like, he's going to strike her in front of everyone at the party.
That's what I thought. And I was like, oh, and then the image will be shattered in front of all these people. But he didn't. He restrained his cool.
He's like, that's all right, baby. And then he goes over and makes the weirdest choice to clean himself off in the pool.
In the pool? It's like, dude, go in the kitchen. It's right there.
Well, like, why? Because of chlorine? Like, you can wash yourself off in a pool when you have... Which, by the way, IMDb hated that the amount of barbecue sauce on his arm
changed
so drastically.
It was a lot of barbecue sauce.
It went from, like, a splatter,
right.
which I was like, oh, this is an abusive husband. Like, this is enough for an abusive husband to be mad
right.
about. To, like, to the point where I was like, even I would be pissed about that. Like, dude, you fucking...
He was, like, covered in it.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm covered head to toe in baby Ray's, and, like, you're, like...
And it was probably hot,
Fritos
too.
Into a bowl. Yeah, totally.
And, like, so he goes to the pool, he dunks his whole arm in.
Yeah.
And he starts washing it off in the pool. And he stands up with this look of smug self-satisfaction. He goes, Who wants to go for a swim?
Oh, but wait. What you missed there is that the ghost of Tina
was
staring back at him.
Right. He sees it in the pool.
And he kind of like shudders and is like, oh, that's too much of that for me. And then he like is like, who wants to go for a swim? Like, credits up.
Right. Like, freeze frame credits.
Which was, it's great because last week we did a movie about Lisa Rinna learning how to swim and like finding out she's fucking her swim instructor's husband. And so this is a very water heavy season of Mother May I Sleep With podcast, which I don't mind. It's right. Summer. I think it's celebratory. Yeah, I loved this movie. Guys, 10 out of 10 for real for me.
It was great.
Just because, yeah, I mean, this is even if you're not a Lifetime head, which like maybe Another Woman's Husband, which we watched last week, maybe that would be a lot for you. But this right. is just a good, for me, this reminds me of like Backdraft or something where it's like, this is just a good movie about bad things that wouldn't occur to me.
Right.
But we have a scale here that is, you know, we use to kind of judge, rank these movies. Last week was an all-time high. I won't even tell you our score because it's insane. But what's your favorite movie of all time? Like, just in terms of how well-made it is, the acting, everything. Like,
the bad seed.
Backseat?
The bad seed.
The bad seed. I was like, what's backseat? the bad seed. Okay, so great movie. I would say 5 for us is Mother May I Sleep With Danger, which is like the OG just in terms of everything Lifetime. So when we're going to go and rank these things, and we do have a slightly different scale than we did last year, you're going to, if you, the closer to 1 is the bad seed, the closer to 5 is Mother May I Sleep With Danger. So on a scale.
Is that the worst Lifetime movie?
It's the most Lifetime-y Lifetime movie, right, I would right. say, just in terms of like, you know, it's no Hayley Duff flick, which are really bad as well.
Yeah.
But it's pretty iconic.
Okay, so this is the scale.
Yeah, because I do think that ultimately these movies are iconic and they have a place in our society.
And here's the thing. I love bad movies.
Same.
Love them. Like, so I am like, I would never watch a movie that like had terrible acting and like terrible production. If it entertained me, I would be like, well, that was a great movie.
Absolutely. That's why I come here with a renewed sense of hope every single week. It's right. Because like,
and like, wait. I was entertained watching this.
I totally loved it. This is up there for me with like Drew Peterson and like Craigslist Killer and some of like the better true life stories that
right.
we've covered on this show. So in terms of like the acting, would you say this is like a 1 closer to the bad seed or like a 5?
I would say it's probably a 4.
This is, yeah, I would say it's a 3.5 or a 4. I thought
like Harvey brings it up.
I'm going to give it a 3.5 because Harvey, I think really like,
because there were moments that I started laughing because the acting was so bad and cheesy, totally. But I love bad acting.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do too. I mean, and also acting is hard. I can't act.
It is hard.
I've never done it. So like whenever someone gives it a good college try, proud of them.
Totally. It is hard.
You know what I mean?
Right. Roll tide.
Believability of the world and characters.
Now that we've talked about how sad the church was, I would say it's a lot more believable.
Totally.
Believability of the world and characters will... I would give it a 2.
Yeah.
Because, like, they did do a really good job with the emotional abuse aspect of their relationship.
They had a lot of, like, different locations to cut up and make seem authentic.
Yeah.
There was a lot of moving parts that I thought they did a good job with. I'm going to give it a 2. Creative use of words to avoid censorship. So that's like frickin', that's like holy begonias, that's like, you know.
Okay, well, he said, I'm going to go home and kiss my wife for 2 days straight.
Yeah. Yeah, like there was a little, I mean, it wasn't crazy. I think no. This is like a 2. Like we didn't get any like there epic.
Wasn't, right, there wasn't, yeah, holy begonias.
You know who has that shit is like they always give it to Candace Cameron Bure. Like,
yeah.
Oh my Lanta. Like, do you know right, what I mean? Where they're right. just like coming up with shit so they don't have to say standard words.
Right.
Dialogue. It wasn't great.
It was not great dialogue.
It wasn't the worst either.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst.
This is like a 3.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the middle.
Wardrobe. It was cheap.
You know what?
But
was good about the wardrobe is because it added to his douchiness so much. Yep. Like his polo shirts that he wore.
It also seemed accurate to the time. And
yeah,
like,
it did.
Like the station in life that these people were like middle class. Very like middle class time. Like yeah.
They weren't trying to look trendy.
Like a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually want to give this a 3 just because I noticed both Tina 1 and Tina 2 were wearing the same types of nighties that were really unfortunate.
And she wore a bra with her nightie, which upset me.
I know. And it's like, there's nothing like, your man, like, does not want, like, a little floral...
No.
Baby. Like, it wasn't even, like, a sexy baby doll. It just was like, you look like a grandma.
It was like an Eileen Fisher baby doll.
Wow. Yep. That's exactly right. Hair and makeup.
It was just, like... someone's first makeup gig.
Tina, too, carried makeup for me because of her green eyeshadow when she picked him up at the airport.
Yes.
I also will say, like, going back to wardrobe, I love Tina, too's fake Chanel bag.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice that.
It was, like, really... It was
I need to go really, back.
Like, it was, like, patent leather. I guess for hair and makeup, it's a 3.
Yeah.
It's very middle of the road. Music. I mean, I'm going to say...
Yeah.
This is a 5.
Right.
For music for me. Because it was, like, between... The music in this, the sound-alikes are so offensively nothing.
Right.
That they're great.
Right.
Like, yeah. Crying. I mean, Harvey Keitel held this for me at like a 4.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the non-crying counted as crying for me.
Yeah.
Him not being upset.
Yeah.
Sammy, are you doing this math?
No.
Okay, I'll try.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your job. I mean, it is, but it's not. Steven did it, but Steven just is ridiculous. Victimization of the female character. This is
oh, my God.
This is a hard
Wait,
5.
Wait, are we doing 5? Wait, I thought 5 was the worst.
5 is... I think that this was the most Lifetime-y.
Oh, yeah, 5.
At every turn.
A hard 5. It was so... She was so victimized. She didn't even have a fucking chance.
She didn't have a chance. And, like, they didn't help her in any way.
No.
Either.
And like, even when she stood up to him, it was like... She wasn't even as mad as she should have been.
Yeah.
Like, she should have fucking kneed him in the balls.
Yeah. No, and she just is like, I packed my sleepover bag, and he didn't seem to respond to that. Like,
right. I mean, she should have, like, insulted relatable. His manhood. She should have gone totally. For the jugular and been like, you're fucking not even cute enough to get away with this shit.
What do you think about telling someone they have a small dick?
Or I
saying
mean,
their dick doesn't work?
I don't go for the you have a small dick more than I think it's more of an insult to say you don't know how to make a woman come.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
Small dick, you can't control that.
Uh-huh.
But like someone not knowing how to make a woman come says so much about their personality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. On Vanderpump Rules, it never like really like stuck with me when Katie would be like, your dick doesn't even work. I was like, well, there's other complaints
there's like
you can have.
Yeah, and there's like medical reasons why someone's dick
sure,
couldn't work. It doesn't
sure.
like reflect them as a person as much as someone who just sucks at fucking.
Yeah, and I'm also like, that's what you get for dating a guy that drinks whiskey in LA over 35.
Totally.
You know?
Right.
Failure and or refusal to jump to the logical conclusion. We see this more in like fictionalized movies, but
I mean everyone knew he did it.
Yeah, so this is like a 2 for
yeah.
me because it wasn't like so clear-cut either way. Dropped plot lines. There wasn't a lot. I mean, I'd like to know what happened to the mom and the sister. The mom wasn't even at the trial. Like
right.
did she die?
No, it's like they couldn't come to set that day. Maybe
I do wonder that. I think that that's like our audience under thinks about like how these things are affordable for people.
Right. Like they couldn't afford to pay the mom and the sister. They weren't that like integral to the plot.
How many days do you think it took to shoot something like this?
14.
Yeah, this is a 2-week shoot for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
So drop plot lines, this is like maybe a 1 or 2. It's not bad.
Right.
But font is where I mean this is like a 4 for me. For
yeah.
font. But that
was,
noise.
That noise that they made that had nothing to do with because they were trying to make it like a like, they didn't know if this was, like, a police drama or about... Because it was a...
It was
so many different, like, protagonists in this. Was
like,
it
I could see this on a CSI, but we're not
right.
going for that.
Right. It was, like, such a CSI noise.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Right. It was...
It deserves it. This yeah. movie deserves more love than we're able to give it. Okay. 38.5. That's pretty fucking good. That's pretty fucking good. And in fact, it might be like our second highest of the season so far.
Of the most Lifetime-y?
Of the most Lifetime-y. I mean, Restless Virgins barely... I mean, Meghan and Harry, we basically said it was like an Oscar winner.
Wait, is that about Meghan Markle and Harry?
That got a 20. But then last week's movie, Another Woman's Husband, got a 50.5, which was our highest movie by, I think this might be on par with our season one biggest movie, which was Liz and Dick.
Oh my God, I love Liz and Dick.
It was great.
That might be the most Lifetime movie I've ever seen.
You would think, but like then there was other things that it was like kind of like, oh, they did a good job with that, I guess. Like, I mean, I guess also netting like Lindsay Lohan, especially right. Like during that
era where it was like
questionable time in her life.
Really like, questionable. Where it was like that was a big deal for her to even be welcomed onto a set.
Which, by the way, I will say, like, I heard someone else say this recently and I felt very like received by the universe when she said it. Like, The Canyons was not that bad.
I love Lindsay Lohan.
I love her. Like, I love good her. Things for her.
I do too. I want her, like, my dream is to write the Oscar winning movie, like her comeback movie for her.
I would love that for you.
You know, like that's my dream for her and for me. Like,
I will say when she came on Two Broke Girls, like she was pretty fucking good. And like someone from the audience, like, wrote a scathing thing that got up on a No They Didn't that was like, she forgot her lines and blah, blah, blah. And like,
well, you go up, dude, get up there and do it.
Have you ever done like a multicam? Like,
right.
First of all, like everyone looks shitty compared to Kat and Beth, who just like, I mean, like they don't even like, their brains are pristine.
Right.
But then also like we've had guest stars on who were like, I mean, no, not naming any names, but like they just like couldn't fucking remember a line.
Right.
And she for a name and like, yes, like there was a day or two she was like a little bit late or something, but right. Like it wasn't Lohan late, like it wasn't right. That 7 hours late that you would right. expect. And so I really do like I love her, and I don't know how necessarily that relates to this movie, but I will say that's who the hearts of the people who watch this movie are.
I think they root for Lindsay.
Yeah.
And even if they don't like, even if they think she's stupid and trashy and ridiculous, I think the hearts of the listeners of the show love watching her.
We root for women.
We do root for women. You know? And Lifetime, a channel for women.
Like, how many like dudes have done exactly what she's done and they're like fucking fine?
All of them.
Yeah. When a woman
fucking all of
wrong,
them.
Literally anytime a woman fucks up, like if Misha Barton had a dick, she would be
already on her Oscar nom by now.
I was just going to say, I was like, not even that, maybe she'd be hosting. Like,
right.
She'd be like the Billy Crystal of her life. If
right.
She was,
right.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so sad. Guys, Rachel Fisher is the best. She hosts a podcast that I love called Hollywood Crime Scene. You guys will love it too. It's very dishy and very fun. And we've had Desi on as well.
Yes.
So if you guys like Desi, you like Rachel, they're the best. Hollywood Crime Scene. Is there, you're Rachel Fisher on Twitter, right?
The Rachel Fisher.
The Rachel Fisher.
Yes.
Childlike Empress on Instagram.
Yes.
You guys should go follow her. She's really fun and super fucking funny. Lots of hot takes. And I'm all about it. Thank you for having me.
This was so fun.
I'm sad this is over already.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hopefully this is just one of many more seasons.
Yes.
We'll have a lot more.
I would love to come back, and you have to come on my show too when we figure out our guest format that we're trying to do.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about like what I would do, and I know Jodi Arias isn't a Hollywood story, but then
we want our guests to pick any crime that they love.
I had another Hollywood one that I thought of last night. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it was a good one. I will say that I loved your episode about Jared Fogle so much that today I was like, should I order her cookies from Subway? And then I was like, I'll have 20 cookies here from Subway.
That
and like, I can't
so
do
sweet.
That to a person.
That is so sweet.
But I was going to order you cookies. I mean, the
you know
thought
what?
Was there.
The thought. The thought,
I know you like cookies
so much, but I'm on a diet right now.
Okay, good.
But the fact that you thought that,
yeah,
like, makes me like shed a tear. That's so
of course
sweet.
No, because I've never heard of anyone liking anything from Subway, let alone the.
That's
cookies.
The only thing I'll eat there is just
I'm
the
so
cookies.
Glad to, I'm glad that I thought of that, and I'm glad I thought to tell you.
Everything else tastes like latex gloves. I won't do it.
It's so gross.
It's gross,
right? And I think Chipotle is really fucking gross.
I do too. Everything's burnt.
Yeah, and also the. Tortillas taste like paper towels.
Yeah.
They taste like Bounty paper towels.
I don't understand why people like it.
I don't either.
I don't
and
get
those
it.
Who love it, love it.
They love it.
They were raised wrong.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you so much for
thank
listening.
Thank you.
I'm Miles. Sammy Junio's our producer. We were going to hear that again in the credits, so I don't know why I'm saying it. Love you. Wags, do you have anything to say? No. All right. Bye, guys.
Well, who
wants to go for a swim?
Well, they say don't look for heroes if you don't care who you find. All roads lead to somewhere.
Thank you for listening to Season 3 of Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. Our show today was made possible by our coordinating producer, Nicole Matthew, as well as our producer, Sammy Junio. Much love to Christina Lopez for all of her help, and Elizabeth Brozek for that killer logo. We love it when new listeners find our show, and the best way for that to happen is landing in the Apple Podcast charts. You can help us out with that by making sure you're subscribed to the show, and if you want, leave a review. And if you really want to support the show, you can head to our Patreon, patreon.com/MMISWP. For information on our ranking system, episode details, and social media, head to MotherMayISleepWithPodcast.com. I'm your host, Molly McAleer. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under M-O-L-L-S, Malls. And if not there, on my couch, binging Lifetime movies. See you next time.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.